Okay, so this is September 15th, 2019, I believe. And it's about
10:49.
And we're starting the KPFK LSB meeting. Mr. Secretary, could you call the roll?
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Grace Aaron present. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron present. Michael Adler present. Singy Bird?
Present.
Singy Bird present. Fred Blair?
Present.
Fred Blair present. Sandy Childs has requested an excuse absence. Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Bella DeSoto present. Jan Goodman? I'm going to come back to Jan.
Chris is on the phone with Jan now.
Ollie Lexa? Rob Macon? Barbara Marbach?
Present.
Barbara Marbach present. Michelle Manos?
Present.
Michelle Manos present.
Yeah.
Fiorella Majorca?
Not here
yet. Michael Novick?
Present.
Michael Novick present. Nancy Perlman?
Here.
Nancy Perlman present. Reza Poor?
Here.
Reza Poor present. Steve Pride?
You are for him.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Sorry.
Thank you, Mona.
Lawrence Reyes?
Oh, present.
Lawrence Reyes present. Paul Roberson?
Present.
Paul Roberson present. Mansoor Sabah? Oscar Ulloa?
Present here.
Oscar Ulloa present. Paulina Vasilia?
Presente.
Paulina present. Kiana Williams requested an excused absence. Lisa Wong. All right. Mr. Chairman, we have 15 present and 3 requesting excused absences.
All right. Well,
and is Jan going to participate?
Here she is. Jan?
Will you hold the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to participate by telephone?
Yes, I am, and I'm in Carpinteria. I'm
okay.
In Santa Barbara.
All right.
I'm more than 50 miles away.
It's fine. Okay. All right.
Who is answering the door phone?
I am.
Okay. It took a while for us to get in. So I just
all right, we have 15 people, so can I get a volunteer to be...
What's going on, then?
Can I get a volunteer to be timekeeper?
Yeah.
Who?
I'm responding to someone's.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a volunteer for timekeeper? Anybody?
We have to. I get too distracted for that job.
Okay, we need a timekeeper.
For
people speaking. 90 seconds. Okay, thank you. Grace volunteered. Now, we have the agenda. It's printed out, it's been distributed. And the question is there any alterations? Additions or deletions, Michael Adler.
I'd like to suggest adding the Committee of Inclusion as item 3.H.
Okay, any objections to that?
3.8?
H, as in
got
hello.
It. Yeah, that sounds good.
Is there somebody who was convening that committee here?
I was supposed to
okay, great.
But Michael,
any objections to that?
What?
Want to help with that?
Is this your? I can't talk to what's going on, but let me know when the next meeting is, and maybe I can come.
Okay, great.
Okay. Michelle, will you pass these down?
Okay. We have a timekeeper. Are there any objections to the agenda as it stands? Okay. Without any objections, the agenda is approved. And, well, let's go through the, there's one caveat here. We should have set the time certain first, but that's okay. So let's go through the excused absences one at a time. Who's requesting an excused absence?
Okay. Sandy Childs has requested an excused absence for a medical procedure. Any objections?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Adler?
Sandy Childs has requested an excused absence for a medical procedure. Any objections? No? Okay. Mansoor Sabah requested... Did Mansoor dial in? Did anyone...
He said he would be available by phone, but... somebody has to call him?
Did you Lawrence, tell him that he could dial
him? I sent him an email, but maybe if you call
I'll
him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he may come in by telephone. We'll come back to him. And then Kiana Williams requests an excused absence. She has family in town. Any objections?
Okay. Next.
Okay. All right. So we'll come back to Mansoor if he doesn't dial in.
Okay. Thank you. So the next item is minutes approval. Have the minutes been distributed?
Mr. Chair, we have not yet finished with the...
Thank you. I'm following the agenda. What with excused absences?
There are several people that have not been mentioned on the list.
That others. Requested excused absence.
I only have... there are people who are absent who didn't request an excuse that I don't have.
Therefore,
okay.
I object. I will not give those three individuals. Can you give their names, please?
We went through this. Point of order.
So
we went through these people one at a time, and we asked if there was any objections.
I think her concern is with the people who are absent and did not request an excused absence.
Thank
is that
you, Mr.
correct?
Adler.
Right. How is that?
And those people will be marked as absent without excuse. And if they're absent
names,
three
please.
Times, yes.
Thank
they
you.
Are Rob Macon, who I suspect
he's
will
on
be
his
here.
Way in.
Yeah, probably
not Fiorella Majorca.
Fiorella's on her way.
Steve Pride and Lisa Wong.
Thank you.
Okay. The people who were absent without excuse at this point. Okay. Minutes approvals. Did everybody get a copy of the minutes? I think you sent out two copies.
I sent out copies for both the minutes from July and August, and I have hard copies if anyone needs them, thanks to Paul Roberson.
Okay, so let's handle... yes, Barbara.
Yes, certainly. Good. There are hard copies of the agenda and minutes for members. Because there are confidential portions to the minutes, they I have not distributed them to the audience.
Okay, so let's take the minutes one at a time. The earliest is July?
Yes.
All right, does anybody have any objections to approving the minutes for the July LSB meeting?
Yes.
Okay, what's that?
There are issues with the closed session minutes, which cannot be discussed in public. I don't know how we should deal with that.
Point of order. Wait a second. Closed minute?
There are closed minutes. May I suggest we have a very brief closed session after our meeting today and discuss those and make those corrections?
Can these be approved separately? Can we approve
yes.
open session minutes?
Let's approve the open.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay, so we're talking about the open minutes for July KPFK LSB meeting. Any objections to approving those? Okay, none here heard. It's approved. And for
okay.
the, with, there was no closed session in August?
I don't think there was a... No, there was a closed session in August. Was there a closed session in July?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, okay. So there was a closed session in both meetings.
Okay, so... On the open session in August, any objection to approving those minutes? None. Okay. For the closed session in August.
No. The closed session meetings have to be dealt with in a closed session.
Yeah.
To get approval. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. So we'll have as Polina recommended, or Michael recommended, we'll... After this LSB meeting, we'll have a closed session to approve those minutes.
Okay. Or fix them.
Or fix them, right. Okay, so set the time certain to adjourn this meeting. I'm recommending 2:30 p.m. And it can always be extended. And if we're shorter, it's shorter. Yes,
I'd like to make the recommendation, as I have become known to make, that we all stick to the times that we set for the each agenda item. We are respectful of each other, and that when we have to have additional commentary, you know, we approve extensions ahead of time rather than engage in a bunch of crosstalk that ends up pushing our time limits without people agreeing to it. So being respectful of each other and being respectful of people's time is what I'm trying to suggest. Thank you.
Thank you. So anybody object to adjourning at 2:30 p.m.? Nancy, then Lawrence.
Since we're so involved in time, I haven't said this before for the meetings, but I just wish we would not spend so much time dealing with these time issues. We just step through the business. But I was here at 10:20. We're not starting till close to 11 o'clock. People weren't here at 10:30. If we were here at 10:30, we would get out on a four-hour meeting earlier. Let's be respectful of those of us who get here when the meeting's supposed to schedule. Let's be here on time, and let's get the quorum, and let's get going. That's all I ask.
Okay, thank you. Lawrence?
Yeah, I wish to... I appreciate the admonishment. I'd like to move that we adjourn at 2 o'clock.
Mm. Okay, is there a second for that?
Second.
Barbara? Okay. So, show of hands.
Discussion?
You want to make discussion? Anybody want to make comment about this? Nope? Okay, let's go to a vote. Well, you do? Okay, go ahead.
Yes, we have two very important motions on the agenda. Let's not forget that often we adjourn an important business of this board is then sidetracked and either postponed or pushed away. And so I want to make sure that you all read the two motions on your agenda so that we can deal with our time frame. 2:30 seems appropriate. We can always adjourn earlier if time fits.
Thank you. Anybody else want to comment about ending at 2 p.m. instead of 2:30?
And I have another amendment.
Lawrence?
I have another amendment after this as well.
Another amendment after this. Okay. So we're looking at ending at 2 p.m. instead of 2:30.
No, you're not taking a vote.
Thank you. What is it? Yeah, by the way, raise your hand and I'll try to recognize you when you want to speak. Go ahead. Go ahead, you're recognized.
Have you taken a vote for 2 o'clock?
Thank you. Please pay attention to what's happening in the meeting. I was about to when you raised your hand. Okay. Are there any objections to ending at 2 o'clock? Okay, we have one. So let's have a vote. Who agrees to ending the meeting at 2 p.m.? Raise your hands.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Can you raise your hand? Lawrence, was your hand up? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 13, 4. And who's opposed to ending at 2 and rather end at 2:30? That's the option.
No. Who is opposed to, all those opposed to ending it at 2, please raise your hands. 1. Abstain. 1, 2, 3. So it passes yes 13, no 1, abstain 3.
Knows.
Where was the other no?
Right over here.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, all right. And you were no?
You know I am.
Okay.
You heard me.
I missed you. Sorry. Okay, yes 13, no 2, abstain 3.
Okay, thank you. So the motion passes. And I don't want to get dilatory here, like going like 1:55, 2:15. Okay. We've agreed 2 instead of 2:30. Okay. The meeting can be extended or shortened. Extending will require a two-thirds vote at this point in time. But go ahead, Lawrence.
So I'd like to make a motion to move the director's report.
Could you use a mic or speak up, please?
Yeah, the mic is right here.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move that we amend item number 8, director's report, to item number 6, C.
You mean move it.
I'd like to move it to 6.
Why?
Hmm? Why? Because it's I think it's germane to the board members that we have a report right after the finance report and right after the GM and on the gala, if the GM shows up.
Let me just get in the discussion with you. You're saying to move the director's report right after the finance report.
Yes.
Before the general manager or public comment. Is that what
after.
You're saying?
No,
second.
No, after.
Before public comment.
Oh, just before public comment.
Just before public comment.
Can we
second.
Switch to item seven?
No, no. Actually, I want to have public comment after the director's report.
So can we move, can I suggest we move, it'll do the same thing, move the director's report to item seven. Make
right.
it item seven and make public comments item eight.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Any objection to that change in the agenda?
Does that push the public comment portion back in time?
Yes.
Yes, to number eight.
So they could hear the director's reports.
Okay. Which are critical.
I just get concerned when I feel like there's a bit of a pattern of deprioritizing public comment, and I think that part is important. So, but I agree, the director's report should be heard first.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a point that public comments three will still be after the director's report?
That's
so
correct.
If you want both public comments two and three to be after the director's report, fine. But if you just want one public comment section, there are that already going
to
happen.
Stop
out.
It. Do not touch me. Do not touch me.
Only one.
What?
One public comment.
There will be one set of public comments.
Okay, I want to indicate to the board that you can vote.
There's also a public comment.
For what?
Number four.
Yeah, we have three public comments. So I want to indicate to people, this is recommended to move the public comments session two below the director's reports. And then there would be an open discussion and a third public comment. And
that's
you could
it.
Agree to this or not agree. It's just been recommended. We're going to vote on it. So does anybody object to doing that?
Did you still want
there
to do
is
that?
No objection.
Yes, I still want to do that.
Bella, does anybody
stop.
Object
no.
to
no. We're
in?
Wasting so much time.
Because of you, Bella, could you...
That's it. No more crosstalk. No more crosstalk.
Decorum.
Yes. Decorum. Raise your hand to be recognized before you speak or make comments. And if you want to make comments, then you can share them with the whole group, not whisper them. Okay, so is there any objection to moving public comment item 7 and making it public comment as item number 8 after the director's report? Any objection? None? Okay, so that's done. So that's that. There's one last thing in the housekeeping, which is the next meeting will be on October... No, that can't be right. Not October 29th. I might have maybe it was the 19th. I think
it's October 20th, 2019 at 10:30 at the Westside Peace Center.
That's right. Okay. October 20th at 10:30. That's the second or third?
Third Sunday of October.
Third Sunday.
Chair.
Okay, is there any objection to that being the date for the next meeting?
Chair.
One second. I want to see if anybody else has anything to say besides Bella. Okay, Bella, you're recognized.
We always meet on the second Sunday
third
of Sunday. The month.
Third.
Not necessarily the third
we
every
always,
single
always,
month.
Yes.
We are reserved for the third Sunday of every month for the next year. And it's also on, it's already up on KPFTX and KPFK.org.
Okay, so this was
so if you want to change it, we, you know, that would be a change if you don't want it to be the third Sunday.
Well, it's the reason being, this is really amazing because we used to meet on the second Sunday of every month regularly.
That
and
was
slowly.
Before 2017. Since 2017,
and
January
2017. And the Town Hall Task Force is scheduled for the 19th. So I was hoping that we would meet prior to the Town Hall event. For motivation, participation, announcement, promotion, etc., as I will try to motivate today.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Are you asking us, are you requesting to change the date of the next meeting?
That would be ideal.
To what?
Because...
To what date?
To the Sunday prior, which would be okay. The 13th.
Yeah, 13th of October.
There's a lot going on with that.
Okay, Sunday. Thank you. So you already motivated it. Okay, does anybody second that motion?
I second that motion.
Okay, we got a second. Anybody debates on that? Nancy?
I'm curious. Is there any agenda items that we can start and cover at 10:30 that do not require a quorum since we don't start at the time because people aren't here?
She's had a order.
I'm not aware of any. The agenda is the agenda. We follow the agenda.
The entire agenda.
We don't start the meeting until there's a quorum.
You can't cover anything.
Nope.
All right.
Anybody else? This is discussion on changing the date from the 3rd to the 2nd Sunday just for the next meeting. Yes, Barbara and then Paul.
I have a problem with that. We've been meeting on the 3rd Sunday for quite a while. I've got it blocked out of my calendar, and I would have a problem.
Thank you. Paul.
Well, like I said, I spoke to Ms. Bella this morning, and I guess the GM, that's the only date that he's available to come and be present for the town hall meeting. It's a very town hall event. It's a very important community event. We have all put a lot of work and time and effort into it, and I think it's important to maximize participation. And if you could change the date for one day in the month, I think it's appropriate.
Okay.
And I think it's enough notice to make that change.
Michael?
Two issues. One is I'm not sure I can make it. I may be able to move things around. The second is I'm not sure that the room's available that day. So those are two. I mean, I'm not so important. Someone else could probably take minutes, but if the room's not available, we can't do it.
Thank you.
Or we need to have another place to do it.
Okay. Grace and then Polona.
Polona?
Polina, excuse me.
it takes a lot of time and effort to find an alternate venue for the LSB meeting. And I think that's, and there's no guarantee that the Peace Center is available or that anyone is willing to put in the time and effort to find another venue that's as well located and has as many amenities as this particular location. So I think that maybe we can get a commitment of people in this group to do all they can to promote the town hall meeting and work it that way. But I think that or some people can make sure that there's a venue for before we decide on changing the date for the LSB meeting. It's just too much of a burden to put on Michael to find another venue. It takes a lot of time. It can take 10 or 20 hours to find another venue.
Thank you. Who just said that? Who made that sound? Was that you, Bella?
I said chair.
Yeah, thank you. Don't do that. Just raise your hand. Okay. Someone else was speaking.
But you don't look at us.
But don't make a statement when someone else is speaking.
He will look at us.
Thank you.
We'll look at both.
Everybody's been recognized. There's no problem. Don't create one, please. So we're going to go in order, not of like when you raised your hands, but who's spoken before. So Michelle hasn't spoken on this, then Polina, then Nancy, then Lawrence, then Bella.
I would like to recommend that we keep the LSB meeting when and where it is as of now. I'd also like to point out that it's 11:13, which means we are 18 minutes past when this agenda item is supposed to be closed. We should be onto the local advisory committee reports by now. And so in the interest of being respectful of each other's time, Bella, I agree with you that the town hall meeting is extraordinarily important. You know, I'm committed to that project. But in the interest of not creating upheaval amongst the board and being able to move on, I would like to, endorse the idea that we keep the meeting when and where it is already scheduled for. Thank you.
Okay, so the next on the queue is Polina.
Michelle just expressed my sentiments. Thank you.
Okay, next is Nancy, then Lawrence, I think, and then Bella.
There's a constant problem in constantly changing the meeting. The whole reason boards and organizations have set meeting dates is for continuity, for people to get familiar, be able to plan ahead, plan in advance. Every once in a while, there's a unique situation where somebody needs to change, but I don't see it for the October. And the problem is, I'll be requesting an excused absence in November because that's the California State Democratic Convention that weekend in Long Beach, and I'm an elected delegate.
Oh,
so
that's me too.
As far as I'm concerned, this meeting should be changed, or depending on how many of us go, if there's enough to have a quorum, then you keep the date. Then we have to consider changing the date if we can't get a quorum. I don't know how many people are going to that convention.
Okay, very good. Next is Lawrence. And
I'm on that task force as well. And the 19th is a Saturday, and the 20th is a Sunday. So I think it would behoove us to the town hall task force to either meet on the 12th or the 13th. A week before, maybe both days. Mm-hmm. This way we could prep better. But I don't think we should move the day of the meeting.
Okay, and then Bella, and then we're done and we're voting. Go ahead.
I was so hoping to have saved us at least 10 minutes of everybody else speaking before me, because I feel that it would only be, my position is that it should be changed only if contingent upon the availability of this location. That is the logic proposition. That's what I propose. If this location is available that Sunday prior, then we should not have wasted so much time. Thank you.
Okay, so let's vote. This is to change the next meeting from the third. Bella, could you please note that Bella is interrupting? This vote is to change the next LSB meeting from the third Sunday to the second Sunday, from October 20th to October 13th. Those in favor...
Subject to the availability.
The availability of the quarters.
Okay. Okay.
Let's say. And vote.
Okay. All those in favor of moving the meeting to the second Sunday in October, contingent upon the availability of the Peace Center, please raise your hand.
Okay, only one.
All those opposed? Opposed, 8.
Jan abstained.
Abstained.
Okay, we hear you.
Abstained, 8. Okay, so the motion is defeated.
Okay. All right, now we're moving into the second thing on the agenda. Number two is update on LSB elections. Is anybody who's been in touch with the National Election Supervisor recently could speak to that, or how many votes we're getting in? Can you give a report?
No.
Okay, Lawrence, can you?
I could give a report, which is basically there's no report, because the NES, the National Election Supervisor, has not communicated with the governance structure. In fact, she has usurped the governance structure, and I want to put on record that she has violated these bylaws, and that she has violated fair campaign provisions of these bylaws, along with other bylaws. So I want to put on record that she's scheduled to address the PMB on next PMB meeting.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Michael, then Grace, then Bella.
Yeah, I wanted to point out they're continuing.
Oh, wait, Michael. Give 6 inches. You can't talk that close to the mic.
Just add me to the list.
Go ahead.
You usually object to speaking too softly, so...
I know, but when it's just a technical thing. Okay. You close it, go... It's just too much space.
I just want to point out that one of the members of this body, Reza Poor, has still yet to receive his ballot, despite his correspondence with the NES. who claims he's not a member of KPFK.
Okay, great. I guess Grace, then Allie, and
no,
then
Bella.
I know. Bella, you're at the end of the list because it's on all issues. So we got Grace, Alex, and
Fiorella.
Okay, can I be recognized?
And then Bella. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. The National Election Supervisor provided a written report to the Pacific National Board for the last open meeting of the board, or the meeting before, I'm not sure. And I will forward it to this email list. So she did provide a written report, and I will forward it to the LSB.
And just as a question of info, was the report distributed to all of the PNB members?
Yes, and it was. It's the audio is online. It was in an open Pacifica National Board meeting, and I, as the chair, read most of the report to the anybody who was listening on the stream.
What day?
I believe it was the last meeting, which was last. Thursday, not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before.
What date is that?
Or maybe it was the meeting before that, but it was, I'll find it for you. I believe it was the September 5th.
Okay,
the state of the report.
If go listen to the audio of September 5th, PNB meeting.
Well, I'll, yes.
Okay, thanks.
I think, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
So there is a report.
That would be question information,
sure. Well, we're just doing a queue.
Okay,
so I don't want to go back and forth in the queues. Back and forth, it'll take forever. But I'll put you on
present.
The queue.
She provided the written report.
Put you on the present. So, Grace, was it Ali, or did you want to say something, Ali?
I basically have the same information.
Okay, Grace. And Fiorella?
Okay. So I have a few of KPFK listeners who have asked me how do they vote, because they're KPFK members, and they've tried to contact people in charge, and they can't get an answer, and they still don't have their ballot, and they want to vote, but they're very frustrated with the situation because they feel like it's really messy, and they don't know how to go about it. So I want to ask if anyone has any more information that I can give these people, because they're listeners, and they want to support us, but they cannot get a hold of where they're how to get their ballots, and it says that they're not a member when they are. So
okay, and next that's Lawrence, Michael, then Bella, and then Bologna. Oh, Nancy.
Thank you.
Now, I want to one moment. We have items on the agenda. We've got to escalate this.
I'm just going to repeat a second.
Go ahead.
It makes it sound as if the NES was present to address the directors. She was not. She has been asked, even by Grace when she was chair, to she was requested to, you know, to address the board, and yet she has refused. So we send another request, hoping that she will show up at the next PNB meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'm losing the queue here. Michael, and then Bella, then Bologna.
Yeah, this is in a sense a question to the directors. One of the things the NES has said to people who questioned her about the fact that there were no on-air candidate forums as required by the bylaws is that the PNB approved her plan, and my understanding was the PNB specifically pointed out the bylaws requirement that there be on-air candidate forums, so the opportunity for listeners to call in and ask questions. And I want to understand what the source of that contradiction is between what she's claiming and what actually happened.
Okay, thank you. Bella?
Yes, no on-air forums, as it has been noted. I have a number of people that have not received their ballots. This is not new. This was being voiced weeks ago, and the situation has escalated. It is most embarrassing that our own member of this board has yet to receive his paper ballot. Some people have no access. We have a digital divide that has not been considered seriously. These people are not receiving their paper ballot. This is so egregious. This is such an embarrassment. And here we are entering. We only have a very short time window to submit the ballots, either electronically or paper. Something has to be done.
Thank you. Polona?
Polina.
Polina. Why do I keep doing that? Okay, Polina. Pardon me. I really apologize. Polina and then Alan.
To Fiorella's question, just to give information that's publicly available, that's been made public, I've heard announcements in both English and Spanish now from the NES regarding how to obtain a ballot if you haven't gotten one. That's electronically elections.pacifica.org. There is a link. I just want to put it on the record for those listening and having that same question. Elections.pacifica.org. And if you need a paper ballot, the number to call is 510-854-9663. 510-854-9663, and that's until October 10th. This information has been airing on KPFK, and hopefully that should resolve it. But I'm very concerned, that's the last thing I'll say, that a member of the board, such as Mr. Rezapur, being a member of the board and a member in good standing of Pacifica, hasn't gotten his ballot. And I've received numerous complaints from current members who have not received their ballot. So it is a major issue. Even if the information is being aired, that is not enough.
Okay, thank you. Alex?
Ali?
Yes?
I was going to give the same information to
okay,
you, but I also want to point out that it's available on kpfk.org. If you go to support KPFK, there's a drop-down menu that says KPFK elections, and it has the same information.
Okay, thank you.
And also wanted to point out that Rob Macon is here.
Yeah, Rob Macon.
Hi, guys.
You got that?
Okay,
I'm going to end discussion on this because we're way over time on it.
I got you.
We had 5 minutes. We've been like 10. And all we're doing is people are commenting about it. Nobody's making any suggestions or motions. And if you want to close this with a motion, that's just a sissy, then we'll do it. Nancy had her hand up. Go ahead.
I'll just add my name to a board member who hasn't got a ballot.
Okay.
And
what's?
I would just like a solution.
Right.
For, you know, to avoid, we have to evaluate and find a solution so that this kind of thing doesn't happen.
I make a motion.
Okay, 1 second. Ali?
I would like to point out that I had a lot of problems getting my ballot as well. You have to check your email spam filters and trash and a lot of stuff like that. I found it and filtered under spam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Bella?
I make a motion that the LSB, the KPFK LSB, instructs, adheres to, urges or insists that the National Election Supervisor be responsive immediately to the issues being raised by subscribers of the station, KPFK, regarding the elections,
Thank you. You've got to type these out, by the way.
He has it. Michael Adler is typing it right now.
Okay. I would entertain a motion that was more direct than just blaming somebody or telling somebody to do their job.
My motion was general.
Thank you. Now, I apologize for raising my voice.
Yes.
Why, I was raised by parents that continually interrupted me.
Really?
So this is just stimulative to me. When I'm in the middle of a sentence and somebody decides that what I'm saying is not significant enough and they can just interrupt me. So I would entertain a motion that dealt with a solution. Somebody who would take all of the people who can't get their ballots and expedite it, make the phone calls,
point of order,
and deal with things.
I have a point of order.
Okay.
We're way over time for this agenda item. If somebody wants to take up anything else on this agenda item, they should make a motion to extend time. Mm. A motion to extend time takes a two-thirds vote at this point.
Motion to extend 10 minutes? 5 minutes.
Okay, the motion has been made, and we didn't close off the session. So we're going to go immediately to a vote. Who votes to 10 minutes?
5 minutes.
Has the motion been seconded?
Yeah, anybody second the motion to extend time?
5 minutes.
Seconded,
okay. Hands, a vote in favor of extending time 5 minutes. One. Okay, opposed? Raise your hands.
Abstain.
10 votes yes.
Okay, good.
To extend time?
Yes.
Yeah, that's two.
Oh, that's three.
Three, okay.
Okay, so yes, three, no, eight, abstain, eight.
Okay, so the motion fails. Now we're going into the local advisory committee reports.
Point of information.
And no points of information. We're going into the next item on the agenda. I will not, we cannot stall the agenda.
I have a question, please.
Well, your question can't be... All right, I want to tell you something. If it's not an appropriate question, it will be considered dilatory and destructive to the meeting. Secretary. Go ahead.
The question that I should have asked earlier is, do we know that for sure that if someone else calls on behalf of someone else that has not received the ballot, we'll be able to help that individual? The answer is no.
Thank you. Could you please note that the member, Bella DeSoto, did a dilatory action to delay process of this meeting.
I challenge you.
She didn't ask the question. She made a statement, number one. Number two, it was a topic that is now off the table. Okay.
I challenge you.
Let's go over. No, thank you.
You are being challenged by Paulina.
Okay. So the challenge,
your ruling.
My ruling has been challenged. Everybody heard what I said? The yes vote approves the ruling. No vote opposes the ruling. So could you take a vote?
Say again, the yes vote...
approves the ruling that okay. I'm charging Bella with taking a dilatory action that's destructive to the meeting.
Okay. All those in a favor of approving Ken Aaron's ruling, please raise your hands. All those opposed? Abstain? The vote is yes 7, no 5, abstain 5. The ruling stands.
Okay, thank you. So now let's go to the Governance Committee. I'm the chair of the Governance Committee at this point, and nothing to report because basic product was the agenda, which added some motions. Nothing else that we examined or are considering examining. So that's the end of my report. Rob Macon has attended, so you're the head of the fundraising committee.
Yes.
Please give us a report.
I've already introduced this here. I've already introduced this in prior meetings here. It's called.
Well, Bob, is there an update?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to do. It's called KPFK Goes to School. And what this does... No, I don't have any accent. It's KPFK Goes to School. This is 86 Los Angeles County Public School Superintendents. Okay, this letter goes out to, I've written a letter to, for all of these superintendents, to approve this program. Okay, I was trying to look for, I had a list of, a list of organizations that, give money to, give grants to, community radio stations like KPFK. One was the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. But instead of just sitting around waiting for just one, there was a whole list that we'll be going to get this program approved. Let me real quickly just explain how it works. This program is a radio program. It's a community-involved radio program that invites these schools with academic they could come on the radio and talk about the school safeties and a lot of other things that's going on in the schools. So when I go to, again, like I say, send these letters out to these superintendents, once they settle, I'll go to the organizations that give grants to community radio stations like KPFK, and I'll have 86 people, superintendents, who will back this program. So I'll be asking somewhere in the neighborhood like $50,000 for each organization to donate to KPFK for this radio program. Like I said, it brings them on the radio and they talk about their school like gun violence, sports, whatever the kids. I've done this program before, and I'm just it was very successful. So I'm bringing bring it to KPFK. So basically, that's basically how it works. So the letter is ready to go out. It's already written. Once the letter they receive it, I have all the email address. So it'll save money, postage, and time, thing like that. So I send them out. And once I send them out, like I said, when they settle, then I start contacting people with the grants. And like I said, let them know that these people here with these schools want this program. So hopefully they'll write the, we'll be able to get the grant money.
Okay, I'd like to entertain questions and offers to volunteer and help with the actions in that committee. Who do we got? Felina, Bella, go ahead, and Michael.
May I?
There's somebody? Oh, Barbara.
Am I recognized?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Rob. That sounds great. The idea that young voices be on the air, they also bring their audience, new audiences to us. So, great. Let me know how I can help. I'm volunteering.
Absolutely.
Okay, you have contact information.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to change the queue because I didn't notice Barbara. There's Barbara, and then Bella, then Michael.
I just wanted to know what, I think it's great. I really appreciate you reaching out to all LA County superintendents. That's a lot.
Okay.
But the program would be 15 minutes hearing from students or superintendents talking about their districts, or what would that be?
It'd be more likely gained viewed at half an hour. And what they'll bring the students in, not just one, but bring the students in from the schools. And what they'll talk about is what they're experiencing in schools as far as education. And again, like I said, safety, gun violence, and terrorizing and all other things.
Bullying,
sports.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's basically just a half an hour program that come in. And just basically just
would
stand focused on
it. Would you be the facilitator of that program?
Not me particularly, but I will. And I think I have a few people in mind.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bella, then Michael. And that's it for the time on this topic. Go ahead,
Rob,
Bella.
Rob, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much. I have attended a couple of your meetings, so I missed the last one. I have a question. Did you mean each school's dean versus superintendent? LAUSD only has one superintendent. So you meant the deans, the directors of each school, to gather some of their students and bring about certain issues that are facing their schools?
I'm gonna contact,
that's what you meant?
Yeah, I'm going to contact the school.
No, Rob.
And I'm going to find out who is the person that I need to talk to when we get this set up.
Okay, well, because when you say superintendent, each school, the schools don't have superintendents. There's one LAUSD superintendent.
Okay, I have a list here. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Very good. Michael.
Thanks, Rob. I'm sorry I haven't been able to get to the meetings. When is the next meeting of the fundraising committee?
I wasn't able to schedule one before because of the gala and a few other things that I was trying to work with Annie with. So give me about a week, and then I'll schedule the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. So we're moving to the next advisory board committee, which is oversight committee, and part of that is motions. So it seems like it's oversight committee here. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. This is the programming oversight committee. That's Michael.
Yeah, so I was trying to schedule a meeting of the programming oversight committee with the program director. He requested that he and I meet individually first. So I met with him last week. We reviewed the aspects of the bylaws that referred to the governance role in supporting and advising the management on programming, and he agreed it was a good idea to meet. Normally we would be meeting the last Thursday of the month, but he had a meeting scheduled with the Spanish language programmers that Thursday. So the next meeting of the Program Oversight Committee will be on Friday, I believe it's the 27th?
Yes.
At 4 p.m. at the station, and the program director, Kevin Fleming, will be there to present information to the board members who attend and to any members of the public about the programming grid overall and his vision for how to improve the programming and attract additional listeners.
Thank you.
So that's Friday the 27th at 4 p.m. at KPFK, 3729 Coinga Boulevard West in Studio City.
Okay, I would like to defer further discussion on this because it's in the agenda that we're going to be talking about LSB responsibility for programming. So rather not getting any dialogues now, let's move on to the next, which is the Personnel Committee progress reports. They were tasked with program director evaluation and general manager direction, general manager evaluation. But I believe it was convened by Mansoor, but is there anybody here who can talk to it? Yes, Michael?
I would only say that Mansoor sent out a report. I can read his report if you like, but did everyone read Mansoor's report?
Yes.
Is there anything from the Personnel Committee that anyone who would like to add something to that report?
Someone who's on the committee.
Polina?
Barbara, Polina, Michael. Barbara.
I just want to say we're meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, Monday at 4 o'clock at the station.
Okay, great.
This committee.
Polina?
I just wanted to clarify, because there were some back and forth via email about why the program director is not going to be evaluated until later. It's the contract, it's contractual matters. The contract stipulates that the program director cannot be evaluated until he has served 12 months as a program director.
Okay.
So that's all, right? That's it.
Thank you. Michael? Nothing? Thank you. Okay, great. We'll move on, because we have a lot to talk about. Town Hall Task Force. And who's going to speak about that?
Bella. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. So we submitted a budget initially for about $1,000. We were only approved for $600. The check request to the station came to $620, but we only received $600. $20 is forthcoming. In the meantime, we are over budget by $250, and the reason being is we're no longer going to have, we had a good meeting yesterday, every meeting new developments, and we're running out of time. On the top of the thing is that we still have not been able to secure a location because of union issues. They're going on strike, and this has impeded us from securing a suitable space. But our meeting yesterday garnered some new ideas, new locations, and I think by next week we should be able to get some good space. In the meantime, the reason why we're over budget by $250 is because we're utilizing this event as a celebratory event, not just a regular town hall, celebrating the 60 years, and the recent gala did not include, was not open to everyone, and this is the purpose why it is titled the People's Banquet. But beyond that, we want to, along with the theme, we want a lot of people to get excited about the fact that we're celebrating the 60 years, and we're going to have a drop-down, a stay-in-step, where people will be taking pictures, it will be historical, it will be archival, so that they can commemorate, and we will have a hat like this to give
and sell and raffle. And right now the step, saying step is $80, and we're going to have a banner for the People's Banquet that's around $18-$20. You know, we received a $100 donation. I think we need about $250 more for the budget so that we can make it truly memorable. Unfortunately, Aniel is only available on the 19th, which was the original date set, but he's not available any other weekend, even through November 2nd. So we're stuck with the date. And time is running out, and I just hope that we will be able. Oh, and by the way, Michelle Manos was very kind yesterday. She created a Word doc situation, a Word doc signing sheet, so that people can go online, and I'll be sending that out to the LSB. In the meantime, here's a volunteer sheet signing for, because we have three different shifts or two different shifts. We're going to get there early from 9:30 till 3 o'clock. We need to set up, decorate. If people need to, can only select a shift, let's say from, you know, 9:30 to whatever, and 12 to whatever, they can do so, and they can sign up, and we can call them so that we can all be on the same page. We need collaboration from the LSB, donations. This last time when I coordinated, several board members made some generous donations. Anyway, that's where it stands, and hopefully next week we can secure, stamp a place to call our own with all the amenities that we request and go forward.
Thank you. Ali.
Bella, we had a 20-foot wide by 9-foot step and repeat printed and made for the gala that we have at the station that you can certainly use and delete that item from your budget.
Beautiful. Oh, by the way, Michelle Manos and I are meeting at the station next Wednesday, Michelle.
At 2.
We're going to meet there around 2. We'll come and see you about that.
Yeah, I think Kiana has it in her office.
Excellent. Thank you, Ali. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. So we're going to move on now. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Either way.
Yeah, you go first, then Lawrence.
Okay. Just to add to what Bella mentioned about the event, we are trying to have a 60th anniversary party and banquet on a bit of a shoestring budget. I think it is possible. In order to have like a comprehensive and professional, you know, evening look to the event, we do want to have as many like decorations in our classic colors of black, red, and white and silver. So if anybody is able to contribute decorations in those colors, if you have them laying around your house or you can spend a few dollars at the dollar store, that will help. I asked, what are the logos that are on the Step and Repeat that we already have?
It's the Shepherd Fairey 60th Anniversary logo and the KPFK 1958 classic
Boom.
Logo.
Boom, gorgeous. I love it. That saves us that money. And then the purpose of our meeting at the station is really to gather like whatever visuals and banners and stuff that the station can provide. Correct. And the volunteer shifts are 9 to 1 and 12 to 4. So Bella will be sending out the electronic sign-up sheet. So if folks can please forward that to your other networks in case people want to sign up. Volunteering is a great way to get people involved, you know, with KPFK in a way that we can encourage ongoing participation. So that's just what I have to add. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm going to be brief. I just want to commend the task force for moving ahead and working diligently. But I also want to apologize for the union space falling through. There are union issues. The union is going to be striking against Kaiser, and they need the space that particular month. So that's why it fell through. And 721 is available, but we don't think it's an appropriate venue for the town hall. So that's where we are now, and we try to get a space in East Los Angeles and one in Pico Union, and those fell through because they wanted a deposit that was outside the budget.
Okay.
I want to commend Bella for really spearheading this.
Thank you. So we're done with town hall now. Let's move on to the outreach committee. We have a motion here that was approved by the outreach committee, and I think, well, it's on page two. It's called Motion One. And, yeah, we can have somebody. Could you read that? Take a mic. Just read that out loud.
All right, Motion One. A motion from the Outreach Committee, 825-19. So moved that in the light of recent extreme and unprecedented national policy regarding underwriting, we urgently request the KPFK 90.7 FM LSB and PNB directors to resolve this matter ASAP through any means necessary, that clear and accountable policy be distributed to all parties concerned with full disclosure pertaining to FCC rules and regulations on the matter, whereas station management is also now flexed due to this national top-down gag rule preventing continued community fundraising efforts in alternative venues away from on-air pitching. Whereas recent creative projects initiated by the fundraising committee to outreach to the wider community has been impacted. Whereas the issue of consideration regarding underwriting is nebulous at best and requires immediate resolution in conjunction with the above herein. In effect, such national gag rule is seriously affecting our on-air programmers with their ongoing community projects to help raise awareness funds, thereby subscriptions for Pacifica KPFK away from the regular radio stale pitching format.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's the motion. We need somebody to second it.
Second.
No, you presented it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Second.
Okay, it's seconded. And any discussion? Pardon me?
Motions from committees do not require a second.
Is that bylaws or Robert's rules or what?
Yeah.
Robert's
rules. Bylaws? Okay. All right, second isn't required. Any debate or discussion? Nope, none heard. Okay. Anybody opposed to approving this motion? Three, four, five. It's approved.
Thank you.
Okay. So now we have a separate motion submitted by Michael Novick asking that the PNB take an editorial position. And we'll have Paul read that.
All right. Motion number two, motion from Michael Novak advocating for editorial resolution. The LSB urges the PNB to adopt an editorial position of Pacifica to be aired on the five stations opposing the U.S. embargo, blockade of Cuba and Venezuela, and calling on the U.S. government to respect the sovereignty and the dignity of the Cuban and Venezuelan people.
Okay, this didn't come from committee, so does anybody
second?
I second the motion.
A lot of people seconded. Okay.
This did not come from programming oversight?
No.
No.
Okay.
Just comes from Michael Novick.
Okay.
Point
and
of information?
1 second. Was this somebody else? Okay. Yeah. Bella?
Yeah. This is old business as it was introduced in the governance committee.
Thank you.
It was introduced last month. And
thank you. Was it on the agenda?
Yeah.
It was.
It was on the agenda of the LSB?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Month.
Yes, as new
correct.
Business last
this
month.
This is why
oh, okay.
I presented it
okay,
as thank old you. Business at the
all right, so we got Ollie, then Grace.
I'm just wondering,
too.
What committee did this come out of and where would it go?
Sure. It doesn't come out of a committee. It's just originated by
a board.
Michael presented it to the governance committee, but the governance committee chose not to originate it, not to own it.
And where and would it go? What's the?
It was introduced.
It goes here to compelling the PNB to make on-air announcements condemning Cuba and Venezuela.
I'd like to suggest I add a new section amongst the advisory committee reports that has no committee that presents this motion.
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah, that's
okay.
All right.
Do you
want to the stack over here?
Yeah. Why don't you start keeping the stack? Go ahead. I'll get confused. Grace, and then Paul's got the stack.
Okay. I'd like to speak against this motion because in the past, when I was on the PNB, PNB directors would come up with a resolution of this nature and then another resolution, and it took up a lot of PNB time. And also, it's kind of prejudicial. There are many, many human rights abuses all over the world. Facilitation of those abuses by the U.S. government supporting one government over another so and neglecting issues. So I am generally in favor of this topic, but there are so many issues that could come up for PNB approval. I don't think it's the PNB should be ramming down editorial positions on the stations. I think that the station should have the discretion to have broadcasting on the air that covers these issues. But so for two reasons. One, I don't think that this particular issue is of any more importance than many other, I'm not done, than many other issues of relevance to human rights and to abuses on the part of the U.S. government, such as drone strikes, such as many other abuses. So do we want to have the PNB take up issue after issue after issue to take editorial stands on? We're in a crisis period on the national board. I don't think we should be taking this time up on the national board.
Thank you. The time is up. So Paul has got the control of the queue.
I concur with the problem of trying to take resolutions on specific issues. I don't think that that's the role of the PNG, or there's so many different issues that it'll become problematic and it'll become divisive, although most of us probably are in support of this particular position. It's not the right place. It can bring into so many different problems. When I was a trustee on the LACCD, a resolution came up regarding the Armenian genocide, which we generally want to
recognize.
I pointed out that there are other genocides. What about Rwanda? What about Myanmar? What about the Holocaust?
This is really unbelievable.
It becomes problematic because you have a resolution for one and not all the others. This opens up a ball, what's the expression? Anyway, a box of...
Can of worms,
thank you. I really think that it's would be problematic to start doing so.
20 seconds, thank you.
Who's next?
I just moved down the line because everyone is pretty much...
Yeah, I'll speak briefly in favor of the motion. I think that we just saw that National Public Radio's new CEO is the former head of Radio Marti and Radio Free Europe, Voice of America. I think that public radio in the United States is now a propaganda arm of the U.S. government. And I think it's important for community-based radio like Pacifica, which is committed to... the cause of peace and conflict resolution, to take a position on certain issues. I think this one is a very pressing one because the U.S. Just recently imposed under President Trump new travel bans on Cuba, a new embargo blockade on Venezuela, and also enacted part of the Helms-Burton bill, which retroactively defines properties abandoned in Cuba by people who later became U.S. citizens as United States property, and is authorizing lawsuits in U.S. courts against any enterprises in Cuba that use those properties. So I think this is a very pressing question. I think it's important for Pacifica to distinguish itself from the kinds of propaganda that are aired all the time. This does not dictate what any program will do. It simply says that the Pacifica Foundation or network would adopt this as an editorial policy, and then you could have opposing views aired if people want them.
Time.
So there is precedent in regards to doing editorial policy. I don't know short-term memory or long-term memory of some are not happening right now, but there was an editorial position on Puerto Rico when the government was attacking its students. There was an editorial position on Native Americans when back even when Alcatraz was taken over. So, you know, there is precedent about this. If you happen to have a human rights violation that you want to advocate for, such as China or any other, you know, position that you want to advocate for, then you should put it on the table. The fact is that this is appropriate. It's an appropriate thing, an appropriate venue for the PNB and for the National Board to take a position, because it has taken positions before. You could always do equal time if somebody doesn't agree with that position. Then they could editorialize the position, the editorial position that Mike was advocating for. So I support it. Either way, I will be presenting it to the PNB.
Okay. We're going to watch the time on this. Yeah. And one thing we didn't do was for and against, but we're just going to do Bella, and then I
if
think
Bella,
we've had...
Paulina, then Ms. Michelle over there.
Bella, well, I know, but we've had two, three opposed, and
two
one...
opposed.
No, it was Barbara, Grace, and Nancy. And then we had two, four, three, four, four, four. Okay, go ahead, Bella.
Okay, precedence has been noted. It has been historic for the Pacifica National Board to take very important editorial on political global matters. This is no anomaly. This is nothing new. This is a critical situation. What I find most interesting is that Ian Masters is every day bashing Cuba and Venezuela, as he does every day. If it's not Russia, it is Venezuela and Cuba. So for the PNB to be urged to take on this very position would go contra to the very person that many on this board support, Ian Masters. Okay. Consider them apples. And we need to support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Paulina and Michelle, do you want to speak too?
Go ahead, Paulina.
Thank you. I want to speak in support of this resolution, and I'd also like to remind PNB directors that I believe all of the current PNB directors from this station voted for a PNB resolution in support of Julian Assange recently. There is definitely precedent, as, for instance, in that case. So that's all, I think.
Okay, Michelle, and the only other person, if somebody wants to speak against it, that's it, Michelle.
I just wanted to say two things. I think, one, there's nothing wrong with making this request of the PNB. As someone who is on the PNB programming committee, I will let you know that it is very likely that it will cause the PNB programming committee to get bogged down in an unnecessary discussion about, for instance, all the things that we've talked about here right now. But it's just a recommendation, and it could perhaps be broadened to, you know, just reinforce the idea that, you know, as a network, we are against American imperialism, we are against, you know, genocide, we stand with oppressed peoples all over the world. And in this moment, you know, we want to recognize some things that are going on around the world in that vein. It's not a big, you know, diversion from where we've been in the past. But again, you know, sometimes the PNB programming committee calls can be an hour, and I've been on calls that go over 3 hours. So being respectful of the fact that, you know, there is a lot to deal with. As Grace said, we have a lot to deal with regarding the programming of all the stations when we have those calls. So I appreciate folks respecting the time of the people who put in their time on that committee.
Thank you. Anybody else who wants to speak in opposition to this motion? Otherwise, discussion.
Point of order, Chair.
Point of order?
Yes, sir.
And what's that?
Point of order is that any director could submit a motion on the PNB floor. It doesn't have to get bogged down.
Okay, is that a point of order? Point of order has to do with our protocols.
I want to sort of relate that information to the show.
Okay, thank you. There's nobody else who wants to speak in opposition to this motion. We're going to vote.
Okay. All right, so the vote.
Let's do a roll. I call them for a roll call vote.
Okay. Okay, so this is all those in favor of the motion.
Roll call vote.
Roll call.
Yes, all right, okay, I'm going to vote. As I call your name, say yes if you want to pass the motion presented by Michael Novick. Grace Aaron.
No.
Ken Aaron.
No.
I'm going to pass. Singy Bird.
Yes.
Yes. Oops. Hang on. Fred Blair.
No.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes.
Jan Goodman.
Jan?
Is Jan still on the phone?
Not answering.
No.
Oh, she no. says no.
Ali Lexa.
No, I support the concept, but too many.
Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstain. Rob Macon.
Abstain.
Barbara Marbach.
Abstain.
Michelle Manos.
Abstain.
Fiorella Mallorca.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Nancy Perlman.
No.
Reza Poor.
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Paul Roberson.
Enthusiastic yes.
Mansoor Sabah. Oh, I'm sorry, he's not here. Oscar Ayoa?
Yes.
Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to abstain, and the yeses have it. It is 9 yes, 5 no, 5 abstain.
Okay, thank you. All right, next is the Committee of Inclusion. Who is going to speak to that?
Yes,
who's convening it? Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I have not called a meeting yet. If anybody has any suggestions or want to help out, I could definitely use the help. I have a lot of stuff going on. I have to go to New York because my sister is dying. So I'll work with somebody to call a meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we're now going to move to public comment for 10 minutes.
Point of order before the public comment.
Point of order, go ahead.
It seems that Mansoor Sabah never called in. I think we should go back.
What? Sorry. Slower and louder.
Mansoor Sabah never called in. I think we should go back to excusing his absence.
Who did call in?
Mansoor Sabah never called in. We postponed voting on an excused absence for him pending his call in. I think we should go back to that and approve his excused absence.
Mansoor Sabah.
Okay, I understand. Mansoor Sabah did not call in.
Right.
We should go back to approving his excused absence request.
There was none.
If there was.
There was.
An excused absence? You said he was calling in.
He said, here, let me read what he said. Hang on. Please accept my excused absence from today's meeting as I have to deal with a couple of issues right away. I will do my best to participate via telephone once I am free.
Okay,
you called him, Lawrence, and left him a voicemail?
Yes, I did. I called him and texted him.
Okay.
And he talked to me for a quick minute and said, as soon as I'm done, I'll talk to him.
Okay. We also got a request for excused absence from Steve Pride.
Yeah.
So if we want to deal with these, we might want to do both.
Yeah, Kiana emailed and asked for Stephen Pride at 11:52.
Yeah, we have Kiana's.
And when was the email received from from Steve Pride?
11:52 a.m.
11:52.
His
okay.
Ride fell.
Okay, that okay. Jill, I got it as a point of order. It's really requesting for a change of agenda to handle that issue now. And I want to move the agenda forward. I want to make sure that the public gets their comments. And that the treasurer gets to do his report, and I don't want to take the time now to do voting on these. Now we have three or two at least.
That's fine. I didn't realize that he had communicated he might still call in. So
okay, and this can be addressed in the beginning of the next meeting. Absolutely, we can vote. We can cancel or approve an excused absence.
Point of information.
Okay, Bella. Again, I'm going to tell you something. If it's not a question. And if it's dilatory, I'm going to have to give you a notice on it because we have things to do, and we can't just do what you want to do. But go ahead. What's the question?
We have got to resolve the issue now in this agenda, not next month. So we would have been able to either decide to excuse the absences or not. So far, we've lost a lot of time.
Okay, thank you. Please note Bella DeSoto abusing Robert's Rules of Order, saying she had a point of information because she wanted to declare something to the board about her viewpoint about what should happen. So please note that. It's a dilatory act. Okay, now let's go to public comments. Yes, here's a mic. You got a mic.
Alan.
I have two comments. The first, I'm sorry to report that I'm not entirely in agreement with what the task force for the town hall is doing. I think they're doing an excellent job preparing what would be a good birthday party for a bunch of third graders. And I think that the purpose of the town hall is to find out what the public and the listeners think of KPFK, what suggestions they have for KPFK, and most of all, any improvements they want to suggest to us or things they want to ask us to do for them. And I see very little motion in that direction. And unfortunately, that's not the fault of the committee. It's that needs to be stuff on air, stuff carts on the air, and things on the website. And we aren't getting that from annual. And I think we should put some pressure on there. Secondly, I wish to deplore what you've just done about taking a stand on a controversial issue. The world is full of contradictions and corruption and abuses and horrible things being done, and it's full of very, very controversial subjects, and our job is not to get on one side or the other. We don't say we're going to support the Democrats. We don't say we're going to support the Republicans. It's our job to present the facts impartially and as well as can be done, and that's what we should be doing and not taking sides. I think it is a violation of our charter to take sides. Our job is to present the facts and let the public decide for itself.
Thank you. Our next person for public comment.
I'll go for it. I'm surprised there was no discussion on this.
Excuse me, put the mic to your voice.
Nancy, I was watching you. I was watching you when you spoke with the microphone. Please don't tell me what to do, okay?
Point of order.
I'm modeling you.
Point of order to the board does not engage with people making public comments.
I was just
comments.
Asking for the mic.
Doesn't
stop
matter.
It! No, yeah. Stop, Nancy. Stop. I do that every time.
No
I'm
comment.
Sorry you don't want me to hear. I won't hear.
Well, you did the same thing when you were speaking, Nancy.
Ignore her.
Okay, all right. The more important issue was this underwriting issue. What is going on here is so disturbing. I don't even know where to begin. But none of this issue is confidential. A policy on underwriting should not be held in closed session. I don't know what happened in there, but when you get into closed session, I would reject those minutes and move to make them public, because there's simply nothing about it that's confidential, and I guess it was Grace who called that meeting, the closed session. She has no authority to dictate underwriting policy. If there is, in fact, underwriting policy, it should be in writing and it should be made public. So otherwise, this is just, I don't know what, but the whole issue of underwriting at KPFK has been going on for 2 years. I don't know why it's a secret. I don't know what's going on, but there's nothing more irresponsible than violating FCC rules. And that is what's happening. I mean, after the original underwriting motion came from who knows where, that was approved apparently in a closed session. The reason it was pushed into closed session is because Mansoor said after that motion was presented, I'm against this motion because KPFK would lose $100,000 in money from underwriting if we approve this. Where is that money? Where is that going? Where is it being recorded and reported? To you and the LSB,
John.
Please write the PMB and the ED about this issue. Nobody at KPFK will help you. And this is critical.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Can you switch the mic?
Yeah,
to
behind
the
you.
Oh, sorry.
Hi, good afternoon, Mark. I'm not going to get into any of the politics of all this. I'm just going to speak here as a listener. More often than not, I find myself turning KPFK off.
Yeah.
Okay? As a listener, the reason why is when I hear a lot of third-way corporatism in the KPF programming, like with Tom Hartman and other personalities, I get turned off. Wind up finding myself yelling at the radio saying, what the hell are you talking about? And then turning to another station. When I hear Lisa Gar selling beauty products and spiritual aids for fundraising and the repetitive, boring programming for fundraising, I wind up turning off. I understand there are a lot of constraints with the financial situations and all that, but if you want people to contribute and build the station, then a people-powered radio has to be a radio station that's actually had the people with access to being able to program stuff. Why is fundraising program boring? Why is it repetitive? Well, this should be your most engaging time as a radio station. If you're asking people for money, you should be putting your best programming out at fundraising time. You should be opening the airways to more people in the community so that more voices can be heard and smaller programs can be designed from people in the community so they can be excited about being on the radio and get their friends to listen and turn in and put money in for KPFK. You're not going to get it with this yellow programming, I'm sorry. That's just my point of view as a listener.
15 seconds.
And thank you very much, and I think that's all I had to say.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Nancy Kaufman, and I'm a news reporter for Ernesto's show. And I was very disappointed when we were told that we could not go to the gala event. Where was it? Skirball last Saturday. Because, see, it's like dangling the carrot. First, I'm told we can go. And the reason we couldn't go was something to do with fundraising and giving away the tickets. So I would like better communication, can I say, and more organization so that we're not treated like we don't matter when we give up our time to report the news, which is really, really important. And we have to pay for our own gas, et cetera, you know. I'm happy to do it. I love doing it, but I want more organization because that wasn't cool that we were told and then we were told we couldn't go, if that makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
Get the stack.
Grace, no phone calls.
I think I'm next.
Yes, go ahead. How much time for the
I like
one second? Just 1 second. How much time do we have for this whole
public
session?
I don't know.
It's 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know that, but
it's 3 10-minute sessions of public comment.
I haven't been keeping track. Okay, well, we got three more guys. So, excuse me for interrupting. Go ahead.
That's right. I'd like to thank Rob for his initiatives, for his efforts. Anything I can do, brother, to help out, count on me. I'd like to congratulate all of you who voted in the resolution and the motion to take a stand. The United States of America has a government elected by the people, supposedly you guys, and your government is starving, denying medication and food to millions of people, creating the deaths of thousands from Venezuela and Cuba. And for you not to make a stand in what your government is doing, that's just shameful. And I truly appreciate the fact that you made a stand and you passed the motion. My heart is with you guys.
20 seconds.
Thirdly, the the programming at KPFK and Pacifica addresses, it tends to address the middle class. Most people in the country are not middle class and are not the 1%, the wealthy. The majority of the people, it continues to have their access denied to the airwaves. The programming is irrelevant. And the fact that KPFK continues to ask for big $150, $250, $300 donations, leaving most poor people out, it just makes the station irrelevant. Hence, your need to keep insisting on the underwriting.
Time.
And that's not cool.
Time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dr. Gary Stickel. I got my BA, MA, and PhD at UCLA, and I taught there for 20 years. And I retired from that in 1999 when the chief of the original Indian tribe and the only Indian tribe of Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area, the Keech, asked me to be their tribal archaeologist. The reason I'm here is KPFK continually presents the false name of Tongva. Tongva is totally illegitimate. I published a 40-page research paper absolutely proving the legitimacy of Keech and the illegitimacy of Tongva. Tongva is a made-up word by people who are imposters, and they falsely represent, and they're trying to steal the culture of the original people here. So please have your station present the truth. I'd be happy to come on and talk about that with Chief Ernie and other representatives of the tribe. Also, I want to mention, I helped the tribe write the book on their first hero, Toyperina. Toyperina is the only Native American woman that ever led a revolt in American history. She's unique in American history. This is the first book about her to set the record straight, because before we wrote the book, she was only written about by white male historians who actually represented her as a witch, a sorceress, a seductress. No. She was a righteous fighter for human dignity and freedom. I also want to mention that the tribe has been asking me to nominate various areas, sites like the village of Tobasconga and San Gabriel Mission, and vast areas like the Sea of Keech with Catalina and three other islands.
20 seconds.
The entire San Gabriel Mountains as sacred to the Keech, no illegitimate Tongva. And lastly, I want to mention that we're trying to save the oldest life form in California, the sacred Keech Hirunda Oak, which four scientists verified is 13,000 years old. This is currently threatened in a mountain in the Harupa Hills just south of Fontana. Please join with us in trying to save the earliest life form in California. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, these are the last two coming.
Behind you. Behind public. You.
Oh, okay, well, get online.
Two more.
I would like to comment that we're all on the same side, okay? If we're fighting each other, we're not winning. Secondly, I dealt with a fellow this morning who said he was a listener subscriber to KPFK. He doesn't know what's going on. I said, hey, I'm running for the board. He says, oh, okay, I'll vote for you. I wonder. This fellow is a musician, electronic musician, works with many community groups. He could be an asset to be exploited. He should know what's going on, but he doesn't. I don't know what is going on with him. But more information needs to be pushed at more viewers, more listeners.
Right behind you.
Behind you.
Robert?
Okay. Hi, I'm Janine Brown. I'm a candidate for the board. And I have not received my ballot. I don't mean to bring this up again for discussion. I just think it's important that everybody know. I didn't receive a ballot. I went to the link. I sent in my name. That was 2 weeks ago. When I didn't hear back, I called the station. They gave me the 501 area code number. I left a message. That was over a week ago. So I think I have a suggestion that someone or somehow the board makes contact with management, because when I called the station to tell them that I hadn't received it, they just gave me the other number. They could have taken my name, they could have taken my number, and there could have been somebody with management following through.
Right.
Because if this is just a wild card thing that happens and we're only hearing about the five times here in this room, But what if it's many, many, many more people? We have no idea. Somebody
Correct.
Needs to be keeping track and following back up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Bunglethen, and I'm also a candidate for the board. And I'm here to confirm that this is not just a wild card thing, that I've been really stunned by the chaotic nature of the electoral process from the word go. You're still spelling my own name three different ways. Mm. And it's online wrong. And I've mentioned it, and it doesn't seem to do any good. I haven't gotten my ballot yet either. And the notices I've gotten, I keep getting these urges to vote, to vote, to vote. None of the recent notices mention the option of voting on paper. And I wrote to address that issue, and the answer I got back didn't address the issue. So we're in the middle of it now, and we just have to cope with what we've got. I hope there will be a thorough review of the process and reconsideration of how this has been set up before the next election. But in trying to address what we've got going on now, I remember that in the past, and maybe you've already got something like this planned, but if not, I remember in the past
seconds.
There has been an event planned at the station the night of the due date, the election, so that people could come physically come
Way
to
before.
The station and turn in their election or their ballot then. And they were encouraged because they could meet people, put names to faces, faces to names. I'd like to encourage us to do something like that now, especially because the actual cutoff time is at midnight East Coast time, which is just crazy. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move back on to the next item, which is the treasurer's report, 10 minutes. And could you clock that, please? And Q&A, 5 minutes.
Making a note. Okay, just like to find out how many board members have taken a look at my treasurer's report that I sent out on Friday. Okay. I also sent out links, download links, to download for five fund drive reports for the five fund drives this year. These include all the detailed statistics on each of the fund drives. Has anybody, I noticed this morning that only three people actually downloaded a file. Did you?
I clicked, I looked at it.
You didn't download it. Okay. I realize financials are not the most interesting things, but I spend a lot of time compiling these reports, doing screen captures, and creating a PDF file for the board member and then making them available to all the board members and the finance committee members. So nobody has an excuse to say they don't know about the fund drives now. In any case, I'm just going to sort of synopsize my treasurer's report, which is a short report. It's only 2 pages. The most important thing is probably the table on the second page, which is a summary of the five fund drives this year. In any case, on financial documents, the 2018 audit should be completed and finalized by the end of this month. That's in about another 2 weeks. That's what the auditors and Nita keep on telling us, so I really expect the 2018 audit to be done in 2 weeks and available to the public. Nita has put, I mentioned here that the financial statistics I have on the first page are from the only financial document I've gotten from Nita this year, which is the March P&L, consolidated P&L for Pacifica. And there was also an April P&L just for KPFK. There are some discrepancies between those two P&Ls, between the consolidated P&L and the April P&L for KPFK, and I list the numbers. There's a $15,000 difference between the average monthly operating expense and the KPFK P&L had a lower number. The consolidated P&L had a higher number. I'm not going to read the numbers because everybody has the printouts if they want it. Just for the sanity's sake, the Pacifica consolidated P&L, the operating expenses for Pacifica as a whole, all seven business units, is basically $1 million a month. That makes sense because that means it's about $12 million a year for the whole organization. We are not a small nonprofit organization. In the nonprofit, your typical mom and pop nonprofit is under $250,000 a year operation. We are quite large, and we have a commensurate staff and complexity to this organization. Okay, well, NIDA has told us that they basically putting out financials on hold until they're putting all their efforts into getting the audit completed at the end of this month. I did get a draft financial document from Barry a couple weeks before the local finance committee meeting, which seems to indicate that was dated. The financials were as of June. So it appears that NIDA is actually entering data in the general ledger and is working on that, but they're not issuing us financials at this point in time. As distressing as that is, I think the priority here is the audit. The audit is the most important strategic task at this point for Pacifica. So much depends on that. Okay, I note here in my that the discrepancies I found in the P&Ls last month in my treasurer's report where I was able to trace down to employee benefits in the KPFK business unit, and NIDA has fixed that information in the general ledger. Also, Barry reported at the local finance committee that NIDA anticipates starting the FY19 audit on October 1st. And they think that they've said that they think they can complete it by December 30th. Michael, is that incorrect?
Well, they're not doing the audit.
They do the reports for the auditors. So they anticipate starting the audit. That's what we reported. They anticipate starting the 19 audit on October 1st. Okay. Next section. The next NFC meeting is September 24th. Anybody interested can listen online to that, or get the audio online for that. Budget timeline, we still have not gotten a budget from KPFK management. And about a month ago, Aniel told me that he doesn't plan to actually come up with a budget until he has financial numbers from both the 17 and 18 audits. So I don't know how to prod management on getting a budget to us. At the local finance meeting last Wednesday, we got an interim draft report on the 60th birthday anniversary event, gala event, and these are very tentative numbers, but we think we made a $50,000 profit. The expenses for the event were reported to be about $90,000. So that's what it is. Not ready for questions yet, Billa. It was also reported by Barry at the finance meeting that he made the last payment on the employees' pension plan, so we are up to date on pension plan payments at this point in time. Now,
Two more minutes.
Well, then now the most important part, section of my report is on the fund drives. If anybody's looked at the table, obviously the five fund drives this year, they've run 138 fund drive days, and basically the fund drives have been decreasing the daily averages for the fund drives have been decreasing from fund drive to fund drive. The October fund drive had a daily average. It ran 26 days and had a daily average of $21,610 a day. The last July fund drive had a daily average take. It ran 32 days and it had a daily average of $14,075. And just for your information, there was almost 3,000 pledges made during the July fund drive. Actually, 2,962, or 93 pledges a day. So the fund drives are. My understanding is that the fund drives at all five Pacifica stations have not been doing well this year. But at KPFK, there's been a disastrous drop in fund drive performance, with July being the most current and the worst. And we only made 75% of goal for the July fund drive. So, as I say in my last statement here, there's an existential crisis at KPFK. If we don't fix these fund drives, we're not going to be in the radio station business very much longer. So since Pacifica's business model has been based on subscriber donations for its 70 years of existence, there's something very wrong here. Okay, I'll take questions. 5 minutes for questions. You're going to handle the stack, right?
I'm going to go around the table. So,
I got the stack. It's Polina.
You want to go ahead of me?
Thank you. Since I am on the finance committee.
Point of order. Everybody, we now have like 10 or 15 people who want to be on the stack. Let's limit it to 60 seconds per person because we're going to get a lot of dialogue, not questions. Okay. 60 seconds per person.
First of all, Fred, you said seven business units from the beginning. We have five stations. Which are the other two?
Pacifica Radio Archives in the National Office.
Thank you. I just want the public to understand that. Okay, the gala did not make $50,000. The gala is in the red. And the pledges that were made and also the sales in the silent auction are not funds that are going to be coming in anytime soon with no reliability. So let's put that on the table so people understand that all the resources of the station were dedicated, concentrated on getting this gala off the ground, refusing, claiming that there was no time and that the people did not want to hear anything else. Therefore, our election carts, our election on-air forms were denied by the GM because he knew that he had no time whatsoever except to put up this gala. So that's the backdrop. The other thing is that this station will never survive. We can do whatever we want to do. We can call in the Rockettes. Nothing will save it as long as the salaries remain at 60% plus of total expenses, eating away already the diminishing funds, because we have lost nearly 1,000 subscribers since the last election. And then we can discuss that some more.
May I respond?
No. Let's just go around the queue. Because if we start back and forth, we'll just be here all day.
Paulina,
go ahead. Let's do the queue.
So I just wanted to comment.
Okay. As far as the order is concerned, you have commented every single topic and every single issue, and she actually switched with you because she was actually next, but you guys switched, so it's over here.
No, I haven't.
But you guys switched. So, Ms. Michelle.
I don't mind if Paulina wants to
just like,
first.
I see. You guys had switched.
Okay. So I just want to point out the fact that not only have we have been having a consistent reduction in the daily averages, but we are also consistently missing the fundraising goals, with the exception of February 2019, according to this report. So I want to build on what a member of the public said regarding the programming during fund drives. I'm well aware that the pseudo-spiritual, pseudo-science programming is making money. However, what deeply concerns me about that, and I'm a marketing professional for many years in my 20s, what deeply concerns me about that is that we are training our listeners to bring in people who want to hear this kind of programming. It is vastly changing the ground listenership of our station, and we are no longer a beacon for progressivism and leftism and justice. We are now becoming a magnet for the pseudoscience, pseudo-spiritual community.
Thank you.
Right? People are referring to our station to find this type of what I consider garbage programming.
Thank you.
Okay? And so if we want to continue down this road of relying on ever-declining fund drives and a few upper-middle-class people who can afford and want to find that type of programming, then we should just admit that we are no longer on message and on our Pacifica mission statement, and we are a completely different station now. That is the direction we want to go in.
Time.
Thank you.
Quick question for Fred. What percentage of dollars pledged are actually collected?
You notice I sent out a year-old Nemesis report sent to me by Terry Guy from September of 2018. Historically, the fulfillment rate has been about 86%.
Okay.
Sometimes as high as 90%, but mostly 86%.
And that's staying stable?
No.
Well, I don't know because we haven't received a Nemesis report in a year.
Okay.
So I have no way to know what the actual fulfillment rate is.
Okay.
Okay, let's stay on the queue.
All right, Mr. Michael.
Yeah, so I just want to point out that one of the things that was raised at the Finance Committee, in addition to the fact that the proceeds from the gala were only pledges that were made, was that the initial goal for the July 2019 fund drive was stated at $650,000.
Huh?
After the fund drive started, the goal was reduced to $600,000 and still only reached 75% of the reduced goal. So the situation is really worse than was stated. I concur completely with what Michelle Amano said about the fact that we're cultivating an audience that only listens to the station for the premiums. They think of it as QVC. I mean, it's market, you know, it's ridiculous. So I think this demonstrates the complete failure of the current programming grid in general, not just the on-air
fund drive
during the fund drive.
Time. And we're at time for this agenda item.
Oh, thank you. Two more people.
And that'll be
it. Ms. Paulina and Mr. Lawrence.
So move to extend the time on this agenda item for two minutes, or we don't need to?
We don't need to.
Okay, go ahead.
You two, go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to thank you, Fred, for the work. I was wondering about your assertion that it's completing the audits is more important or more urgent than having current financial information, because it feels to me, especially even if we think about that, yes, of course, the audits are important, but completing the current audits will only make us perhaps eligible for CPB funding by 2021. So I don't think, by that time, you know, this boat will have sunk. We have very urgent questions here, which is, how is KPFK going to budget for paying the interest on the big loan that we're all responsible for as Pacifica? And how can we press NETA to give us financials so that budgets can be, can be elaborated as soon as possible?
Okay, good. We got the next. Marks, last one of you.
So I'm not going to put the programming on you, Fred, but the fact is that the programming is the thing that people want. And the fact is that we're losing hemorrhaging listeners. We're losing listeners. WBI has increased listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why that is. And if I invest $90,000 in stock and I'm only getting $50,000 back, that's a loss of $40,000. I mean, at least for me, I don't know, maybe I'm not good at math, but that seems to be the case for me.
20 seconds.
Thank you. And then the other thing is, I had another question in regards to these. Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't compromise current financials for the audit. The audit's going to be done by the audit committee. You're not allowed to serve on the audit committee because you serve on the finance committee.
Right.
So I don't understand why you're paying attention to the audit instead of the current financials.
Thank you.
Not me.
Okay, we move on. Oh, go ahead.
Can I respond?
Go ahead. Response.
On the audits, the strategic importance is that, first of all, we need to get back in the good graces of the California Attorney General, because mm-hmm. we're breaking the law by not doing our audits.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The audits are important for other purposes, to get grants, to get loans, to do all kinds of necessary business transactions. The audits need to be current. So strategically, the audit is very, very important. The financials, we know sore where we're at.
Mm.
I mean, I was able, I know what the fund drives are doing outside of the audits, because I got I got access to the fund drive data by asking the NEL to give me access, and I provided the same. I provide that information to the whole board if anybody wants to look at it. There's lots of information in the fund drive stats.
Yeah.
Chair, I got a motion.
That's all I want to say. I think we need to move on.
Okay. Morris wants to introduce the motion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to present a motion that the business manager be present at the next LSV meeting.
Point of information on that. If he's present, it's billable time. And that could be like 5 hours or 4 hours to come down here and present.
I still like to make that motion, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Second.
What's the motion?
The motion is that the business manager be in attendance to correlate what the financial treasurer is making. To correlate the finances that the treasurer, to qualify the finances that the treasurer.
Do what? Say, I didn't get it.
Barry Brooks.
To correlate, in other words, augment or qualify the financials that the treasurer is reporting. I think the business manager may elucidate.
Point of information.
Is that requiring that he's present here or just turns in a report?
Point of information.
Whatever the body decides.
Okay, whatever the body decides. Okay, great.
Point of information.
Then
it has to be here.
Lawrence, the business manager is going to come out with a complete report on the gala in about 3 weeks.
Okay, Bella.
Written report.
The motion stands very differently. Mr. Lawrence is requesting that because...
Oh, thank you. I'm going to interrupt you. Mr. Lawrence speaks for Mr. Lawrence.
He's requesting for the business manager to be present here.
Thank you.
Whenever there is a financial report from the treasurer.
No, one time.
Thank you.
One time.
Point of order. I want to make a point of order here. Or I'm making a statement or a ruling. it isn't necessary for someone who's here for to stand up and say what someone who's here was saying. That person speaks for themselves. So if you want to make a statement about your opinion, that's fine. But don't waste our time telling me what somebody else meant or what they said.
I think
Lawrence can speak for himself. Now we got a point of order from Grace.
Okay, we're out of time for this agenda item.
Okay.
We were out of time before Lawrence put forward a motion.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to consider that motion, that's fine, but we have to have an extension of time, and it needs a two-thirds vote.
Okay.
Mansoor's on the phone.
What are you doing? What's that?
Mansoor's on the phone. Mansoor said.
Okay. All right. So let's take that point as valid. So if you want to make the motion, you have to extend time, let's say, 3 or 4 minutes. Okay, how much? 5 minutes?
Three.
Okay, that's been seconded.
So for 3 minutes?
Those in favor of...
For 3 minutes?
3 minutes, fine. No, because there may be debate and so forth. 5 minutes.
Yeah, I have a point of personal privilege as well. That is... Yeah, he seconded.
I seconded
that
already.
So, I have a point of privilege... My colleague over there, Ms. Aaron, stated that this was out of order. I don't think it is, because if we're asking, I'm not saying that he should dispute what Fred is reporting. What I'm asking is that he provide an independent report in regards to the way he's dealing with
I got that, but that's not what the other members, she didn't object on that basis. She objected on the basis the time had expired.
You're stating, Chair, that I'm trying to get somebody to dispute or speak for the president. That's not what I'm doing.
Okay. Fine. You're going to make a motion to extend time?
Yeah, 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Seconded.
Okay. Point if it's 3 minutes and we don't get to a vote, there is no vote.
I would like to let the body know that we are now 35 minutes beyond agenda timing, and if we plan to go past 2 o'clock, we should note that now, or we should... come up with an accountability structure that will allow us to save that time throughout the rest of the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I believe the general manager's report is a big chunk of that, and I don't see the general manager here.
Mm-hmm. The big manager, the
general manager.
That's 15 minutes.
But there's no report.
Yeah, there won't be a report. So it's 15 minutes. But that's not a lot. So.
Vote.
I'd like to move for a vote.
Is there any objection to...
Okay, so...
I'd like to move to a vote on the motion.
Okay, the motion is...
3 minutes.
Now, you're making the motion. I don't care what anybody else says. What's your motion?
Michael, did you capture it?
Is the motion for a time extension, or is the motion...
The motion
to have the business manager present to the LSB.
Yes.
Now, does that? Are you requesting that the business manager arrive at the meeting or in writing?
That he spend at the minimum 15 to 30 minutes
at the meeting.
Right.
Okay.
In person. Okay.
Okay. Let's vote.
Okay. And so we're voting on the mention. We're going to go ahead and extend time on this.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let me delete the extension motion.
Right.
All right. All those in favor of having the business manager present to the LSB, please raise your hand. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
You said present. It should be present. No?
No. Please.
All those opposed to having the business manager present in person to the LSB, please raise your hand.
He'll be present in presenting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those abstaining... yes, 9, no, 6, abstain, 4. The yeses have it.
Okay, the yeses have it. So, Mr. Secretary, please advise.
96.
Could I have order here? Mr. Secretary, please present an email to the business manager to arrange for his attendance at our next meeting. Okay, so now the GM report. I contacted the general manager. He will not be able to attend today. Obviously, he's not here. He told me they're still working out, evaluating the fund drive report. He doesn't want to make an official statement about it. Regarding the upcoming fund drive, it starts October 1st, I believe, and he said he's very interested in the LSB participating and sending him emails about any recommendations or ideas, and, of course, coming in to work in the phone room and encouraging through your social network to get people to contribute. That's it, and we move on. And yes, dear?
Yes,
for Ella.
Yeah, I just have something to say about the gala.
The gala, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with the public comment made by Nancy. She, we're news reporters, and there was really just no accountability in regards to annual and communicating with the news director, Ernesto. And there was also no email that supposedly was sent. It again points to the lack of organization, and I think that is the core issue with a lot of the things that we're discussing here. A lot of emails supposedly being sent aren't being received. We should be, the volunteers need to feel like they're wanted, like they're important. And if we treat the volunteers in this way, how are we treating the public as well? I suggest having more accountability, more transparency, and more of a communication that is obviously needed, because the emails being sent aren't being received in any way, shape, or form like it's being touted. So I just wanted to make a comment on that, and I hope to work with Anil and anybody else that wants to see more communication, not just between us, but between us and the public and our volunteers who do a lot, at the very least, board members and people who spend time at the newsroom should be there, and a lot of the news team has expressed concern for feeling that they're not important. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, could you, you've communicated this to the GM?
No.
Send him an email.
Yeah, he's not here, so yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, public comment now, and then we're going to go on.
Before we do the public comment, I don't know if it's appropriate, have it in a minute, but I just want to comment request.
Please use the mic.
Thank you. I want to request that in the minutes that I object to being attacked by both board members and the public for my simply requesting that people use the microphone so I could hear.
Okay, thank you.
Chair.
Point of order.
I apologize if for the board for attacking you.
I think we all have the same.
Okay, is this really a point of order?
Yes.
The public opinion?
We revised the agenda to put the director's report
before.
Okay. I missed the revision. Okay, thank you.
Not yet.
No, it's going to be after the director's report. My mistake. Thank you. Okay, directors, we have here Grace, Jan's on the phone, Mansoor's on the phone, and who's the fourth one? Lawrence.
Jan, would you like to make a director's report?
Try putting the mic next to the phone, to the speaker.
Jan?
Let me go last, okay?
Okay.
I just want to
go first. I don't want to go first.
Okay, Lawrence.
I'll yield to Mansoor. Mansoor, you want to go first?
Try putting the speaker next to the mic. Hold it up close.
Mansoor, you want to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll go first. With the finance committee that we met, and our CFO was not there, and at the PNB meeting, most of the time was spent behind closed door, and we're going to give a report after this Thursday on a closed session meeting. That's all I can say.
Okay.
wants to go second, Grace, or you want me to go?
No, you can go, Lauren.
Okay, so there is a lot of stuff happening behind closed doors that I do not feel comfortable with and I object to. But again, you know, I'm in the minority, so the minority really doesn't have representation, although the former chair did try to be fair, and I believe that she was fair. She was removed from her position. And
you mentioned name.
Point of order, I'd like to say that even though there have been rumors and blog postings and everything, there's been no official report out from the PNB, so this could be considered, what you're saying could be considered a breach of confidentiality. That should be noted.
Oh, thank you for noting that. I don't think it's a breach. I didn't even know why it was held in closed session. I believe it should have been in the sunlight. And I believe I have a responsibility to the listeners as a stakeholder and as a fiduciary member of this foundation to report accurately what has been happening. Now, I don't think this is a breach of confidentiality. I believe this is the truth, and I'm going to tell the truth. Thank you.
Go ahead. Tell the truth.
I really did.
Question? Q&A?
Jen, would you like to make your report?
Sure.
Put the speaker next to the mic, not the phone. The speaker. It's on the bottom.
I'm sorry, what?
There we go.
Go ahead.
Okay, maybe I'll change to another question here.
See
which one is best.
This is good,
Jim. We can hear you.
Fine. Just move forward, please. It's good.
Okay, well, okay. So I'm not sure. How about this? Is this good?
You're good.
This is good.
Okay. So one of the things that I want to report on is the fact that the personnel committee is moving forward with a mandate to do the search for a permanent executive director, and they're working with Livingston and Associates to put out a the advertisement saying that this job opening is going to be available and open, I believe it's on February 1st. That's a 6-month date of John Vernele, the interim executive director. He was given a 6-month contract. And so it hasn't actually been posted yet, but the plan is to post it, and Livingston and Associates will post the same job description, so we don't have to go through a lot of fol-de-rol to figure out what the job description is, and et cetera. And it's being planned to put it out sometime soon, and so that's just in progress, just to note that. So we're not, like, at the last minute, trying to put that out. I think that's the main thing that I want to report. You know, we still are struggling, of course, with how we're going to pay off the loan. And actually, I guess I should report this. I don't think this is an executive issue. That we did set aside, when there was a request, and we set aside a certain amount of money to make the payments on the interest payments I believe it's March. So at least we don't have to, or we have to worry, but at least payments are supposed to start in September on the loan repayments. And so we have the payments set aside so that those are available from September to March, and then we're still working on how we're going to deal with
the rest of the interest payments, which runs for 18 months from September, and then the entire amount will be due after that. And, you know, exactly how we're going to do that, we don't know yet. So I think those are the most important things that I can think of to discuss at this point.
Okay.
Thank you, Jan.
Can we move to Q&A now?
I do have a report.
Okay, go ahead. Do it.
Okay. About a month ago or so, 3 weeks ago or a month ago, I think I may have reported in the last meeting, but Pacifica received WBAI received a $208,000 request, and Pacifica from the same source received a $585,500 bequest. So the Pacifica portion, $585,500, was apportioned a considerable amount of it, about $150,000 to $200,000 was used to pay off pressing bills, legal bills and other bills, the election costs, payments to NETA, payments to the audit firm, and so that was a portion of it. And then $100,000 was earmarked to be used to pay down the principal on the $3.2 million loan, and another $200,000 was set aside in a special bank account to be used toward the interest on that loan. And the only other thing is there was a report from Tamara Swiderski, our interim CFO, in the meeting a week ago Thursday. She said that most of the attention of NETA is on completing the 2018 audit as the first priority, and then after that, the rest of the financials will be pretty easy to get together. It's almost impossible to get correct financials up to date without completing the 2018 audit, because the correct financials for the present depends upon the financial reporting being correct before that. So it's anything that was gotten without completing the audit first would just be estimates. It wouldn't be a valid, correct number. So that's the way the interim executive director, John Verniel, and the interim CFO, Tamara Swiderski, have decided to prioritize the staff of NETA, of our internal, whatever internal finance staff we have, and of the audit firms. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. So let's go to questions. Paul's not here, so the way they went up, let's just go left to right. Juanina?
Thank you.
90 seconds.
Girl. Yep. I have two questions, so I'll go in parts. The first is very brief. Am I correct in my understanding that the Pacifica part of the bequest, part of the Pacifica bequest to Pacifica will be used to pay interest? Would that take care of the portion for all five radio stations? Because the question here is, I know that there's been some fighting as to how much each station is responsible for, right? And I would like more information on that first, please.
That's unclear to me. Who was on the National Finance Committee? Fred might be able to answer that.
I can answer most of that. $200,000 was put into the same account that was the escrow account that was paying off the interest for the first 18 months. And the National Finance Committee discussed this, and we actually passed a motion that the way that we're going to use that $200,000 is that $200,000 is going to pay the first interest payment on September 30th. Which is only $26,000. But then the stations are going to try and pay the quarterly interest payments on their own and not use the money in the escrow account.
20 seconds.
And And it was suggested, actually, that that money in the escrow account be put in a long-term certificate of deposit so it earns interest while the stations pay the quarterly interest. If the stations can't pay the quarterly interest or the entirety of the quarterly interest, it will come out of the escrow account. So that we can go that we can for the next 18 months, we can go that route.
Point of information, just to expedite this, I heard that the apportionment of the obligation was going to be based on the election returns, which shows how many members each station has, so that's how they would apportion the share, the burden. Was that a false rumor?
Talking about the National Finance Committee, that is correct. They're going because there are no income statements at this point. That anybody's seen, they're using the election numbers for apportionment. They're going to do that both for the interest payments and also the central service payments.
Thank you for that. I just want to add that the apportionment was not done with any consultation of the directors. This was done by the chair unilaterally to apportion those bequeaths. So I just want to make that clear.
I'd like to, as a point of personal privilege, I think it was an error on my part, although it's been standard practice for years at that time I was, through no fault of my own, the interim executive director of Pacifica because there was a lag between the departure of the last executive director and the current interim executive director. For a period of 3 to 4 weeks, I was the acting interim executive director. The past practice has been for the executive director and the CFO to disperse bequests and funds and other such funds. Now, Ms. Swiderski and I decided what would be the wisest way to apportion the funds, and I reported it to the PNB. However, I did backtrack because I felt it would have been better to consult with the PNB about doing this. And in the National Finance Committee, when I reported this to the PNB and to the National Finance Committee, and as the actual disbursement of the funds had not been made yet, I suggested that the National Finance Committee suggest a better way to disperse the funds and that I would retract any decision that I had made and that it could be discussed by the National Finance Committee and the PNB as a whole if adjustments were desired. The National Finance Committee did feel that what I had done was improper, but they discussed it, but they did not think that there was any reason to revisit this or to suggest a different way to disperse the funds. So the way that Tamara and I had chosen to disperse them, I agree if I had to do it in the future, I would do it a different way by consulting with the NFC, the National Finance Committee, and the board before dispersal. But essentially that's what happened because most of the funds had not been dispersed. And that failure to bring the decision making to the Finance Committee and the board as a whole was rectified, and that's what actually happened.
Thank you. Okay, so let's. Does anybody have some new question that hasn't already been addressed in the finance area, and is not looking to just stand up and make a statement about their personal views? Mike.
I was next on the queue.
I know. I violated that. Mike, you're next.
I had a few questions. One was whether there's been any discussion at the PNB about the NES's statements that the PNB approved her plan for the elections that did not allow for on-air candidate forums at all five stations as required by the bylaws with opportunity for listener live call-ins to question the candidates. The second is whether there's been any discussion at the PNB about the article I circulated to it about the concept of zombie corporations, which is companies that do not have sufficient cash flow to do anything more than pay the interest on their debts. and are essentially dead in the water as to whether that relates to KPFK and Pacifica in general. And the third is...
Point of order. Was that second question something somebody could answer? It sounds like you were asking for an opinion.
No, I was asking if there's any discussion. I sent to the PNB an article called Zombie Corporation.
You sent it to LSB too, right?
Yes.
And so that's an article, and now you're asking if
if there's any discussion at the PNB about that article and the concept that Pacifica is currently a zombie corporation because of its inability to do
Very good. Thank you. And there's a third question. Go ahead.
You distracted me.
He's very good at that.
I'll pass for a moment, but I reserve my time to come back with my third question.
We don't. We've got other things on the agenda.
I'm sure you do, but you interrupted me, and I need time to rethink what I was trying to reiterate.
Does anybody, any director, want to answer those questions by Michael?
I could answer the second one. No, there's no discussion.
Okay, thank you. Polina, and then Bella.
Jan has something.
Oh, Jan has.
I'm sorry, I remember my third question.
The first question was about whether there was any discussion at the PNB about what I think are false statements by the NES that the PNB approved their plan for not having on-air candidate forums with listener colleagues. So the third question was, I was wondering if anybody in the PNB had seen the report that was presented apparently from
stop. Let me just answer that question.
Okay.
So the answer is yes, PNB members were quite concerned about having the forums, but you have to also remember that the PNB has no supervisorial power over the election supervisor. Once the election is entirely in the realm of the executive director, and PNB was very concerned about the issue of forums, but
they expressed our concern, but they didn't have it. So there you are. I just
wanted to say that.
Okay, thank you. We're out of time for this section of Q&A. And
extend for 5 minutes.
Second.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, so let's vote. Who wants to extend for 5 minutes? And who wants to try to end on time? So extending for 5 minutes, raise your hands now. Oh, excuse me.
One, two, three, four.
And not extend for 5 minutes.
All those opposed to extending for 5 minutes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
And Jan?
All those abstaining? One, two, three, four, five.
Yes, sir, voted to extend.
Five abstain. Who voted to extend?
Monsieur.
Monsieur.
Okay. So that makes it yes, six, no, eight, abstain, five.
Okay, and it would also take 2/3, so it doesn't pass. So we move on now to public comments, which is going to be 10 minutes. Please, ladies and gentlemen. And I just want to correct again that the disturbance we had before was completely unnecessary and so forth. But the general rule is no, the PNB doesn't make any responses or comments or replies to statements made by the public at public comment. Proceed.
Excuse me, is there a time for the each person?
Yeah, they should have 90 seconds.
90
no,
seconds.
2 minutes. It's been 2 minutes.
Not them.
And this section is for 10 minutes.
Okay, I took a lot of notes. First of all, it would be good if somebody here, like the chair, would read Robert's Rules. When you run out of time, you take a vote. It doesn't mean you don't get to vote,
exactly.
But if you run out of time, then it's like, okay, discussion is over, you take a vote. Fred goes to a lot of trouble of listing the, it'll go up soon, listing the expenses, but he didn't bother to list the average revenue. So you can see the difference between the expenses and the revenue. See, that's what's helpful in really telling a story. Has the audit committee approved the auditor for this 2020 audit that he's supposed to start in 2 weeks? I haven't heard one. It needs to be approved in public. So before you're all talking about how it's going to start in 2 weeks, that would be a good thing to do. There is a 2020 draft budget. You've had it for 2 months. It came from the CFO, and the Finance Committee has not looked at it for 2 months. So I don't know why you're waiting for the audit to let the general manager do it, because that's not going to happen. And the fiscal year starts in 2 weeks.
This is
the decline at KPFK is not a surprise. This isn't like, oh, shocker alert. This has been going on for 3 years.
No, more.
With nobody doing oversight. I mean, this finance committee in 3 years has not once reviewed a financial document. In 3 years.
Thank you.
That's behind you.
Sorry.
Okay. Could you please speak up closer to the mic?
This is Elizabeth.
That's
Elizabeth. Again. And I'm just wondering where the general manager is. It's standard operating procedure for any nonprofit of this size with a staff to have the general manager present at every board meeting. And it shouldn't be any extra expense. That should be a basic part of his job or her job description. And I'm a little bit flabbergasted. That's completely leaving aside that this is an organization clearly in crisis and descending. And so I would just request that in the future it be made clear to him that that's a basic part of his job. And he'll be held accountable for it at the budget.
Behind you.
I would like to point. If the National Election Supervisor is an independent entity, independent person that doesn't follow any orders from anybody because it's independent, and who pays the National Election Supervisor's salary? I would like to think that the NES like to please their employer and follow the body line. Just food for thought. Second point. In the city of Los Angeles, we collectively speak over 120 languages every single day, which means, aside from the Latinos, it suggests that most people who do that are immigrants, first-generation immigrants. So this is the golden opportunity for the local station board at KPFK to shine and put together, bring back with a different name, what used to be called the Christmas Fair. Will be the immigrant convention, sponsored by the LSB, in which it's going to be like a tianguis, like a swap meet, where the arts and crafts, cuisine and music and culture and poetry of all the different peoples in LA to come together one whole week of the month of December to raise some money, to do some outreach, and for you guys to increase your listenership and to increase your revenue. How about an idea like that?
Sounds good to me.
Hi.
Hello.
So I would like to propose that, I don't know if it would be the LSB or the PMB or whoever would do this, that an investigation be started about the irregularities around the election. As you all know, because we sent you all copies, Reza did not get his ballot. He's on the board.
The last time around, Reza did not get a ballot either. Both times she said, oh, we don't have anything that says that he's a member. Isn't that absurd?
It is absurd.
It's absurd. Not only that, my daughter did not get her ballot. A couple of friends that we know did not get their ballots. There's something going on here. Someone needs to look into this. Okay, so whoever Ken proposes, I would advise you to do that. Because the election's going to be over soon, and it'll just be bogus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I proposed a motion earlier.
Okay.
And was voted.
Kim, you're going? Go ahead.
I want to make another comment about it's misinformation or uninformed information that you cannot keep up with your monthly financials mm-hmm. until you have an audit, because that's the difference between a balance sheet, which you do need an audit for, and a profit and loss. So once again, whoever is, you know, making this misinformation doesn't know what they're talking about, Grace. I just want to say KPFK has had a long history of disdain for its volunteers and its listeners. So I don't know what's going to change, but it's not going to be overnight. And I think that's... Oh, somebody said you're struggling to pay off the loan. Actually, you're struggling to pay your bills for this month. How are y'all going to get through September? That is a critical piece of information that the business manager said. Like, he doesn't think he can pay central services, for one thing. And, it's so close to not being able to pay the bills at all, like payroll and big things. So this is the real crisis that forgot to be mentioned here today.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
I don't have anybody else for public comment. Thank you very much.
You don't want to talk to
So there's one more public comment section coming, and after the next things on the agenda, we're going to move forward. I have a printout here of Article 7. I only have a few copies. I have like 10 copies. Hold on to this one because you're going to read it and pass this. The next thing on the agenda is
share amongst.
Yeah, share it.
Yeah.
There it is. I scribbled over. An open discussion on the LSB's responsibilities on program oversight. And let me just give a motivation for this. There's a program oversight committee. There's a program oversight committee, but it's just getting started. And the oversight of the programs that are on the air is really responsive. There's responsibilities that the local station board has. And it's on here. It's passed out. And you kept the sheet? Did you keep the sheet?
That's right. There's one more.
Yeah, that's right. J and J. So why don't you read that out? Paul's got a really good theatrical voice. Go ahead.
All right, everybody.
Read out the title first.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you. Article 7. Local Station Boards, Section 3, Specific Powers and Duties, Item Number G. To work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, demographic, and communities geographic served by the station and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. Item J, to actively reach out to underrepresented communities to help the station serve a diversity of all races, creeds, colors, and nations, classes, genders, and sexual orientations, and ages, and help to build collaborative relations with organizations working for similar purposes.
Okay, so that's what we're charged with. This is an open discussion. Motions might come out of it, but that's not what we're going for. We'll call it a think tank or just an open throw the ball around. If you have any ideas about the best way to monitor this, to know what's going on objectively as possible, and then what can we do to implement it, to correct it if it's off course. And this is mission statement, diversity, and proper procedures and handlings. One last statement. We have, this is historic throughout the network. It's a joke. People leave the program in their will. And we even have that going on now. Somebody passes away and the program goes to their kids or to their family or to their associates like they own it. And programmers have been on for 30 years and so forth. And a lot of programmers benefit, even if they're volunteers, from having the program. They get public recognition, which is an asset to them in their social lives and sometimes in their financial lives. So there are issues to be addressed. And if you talk to management, anybody I've talked to management at any of the stations, it's impossible to get these guys to let go of the programs. So as Michael said, you see, I won't let go of the mic here. I won't stop talking. So that's the phenomena people have with the programming. So that's what we want to talk about. What's the better? Watch it and go oversight. But we're going to use a cue. So I got Michael, Lawrence, Nancy.
And Michelle.
And then Michelle and maybe and Grace.
Me too.
So Michael, Lawrence, Nancy.
I do want to point out that the LSB twice voted down a motion from the Program Oversight Committee to improve the evaluation process of programming by having self-evaluation, peer evaluation, listener evaluation, along with the management evaluation. So I think that was a...
That's in the bylaws? I'm sorry.
No, that was a motion from the committee that was twice voted down by the membership of this body. I'm saying that was an error by this body not to promote that type of self-evaluation, peer evaluation, and listener evaluation to improve the programming. I think that things that have been said here I concur with wholeheartedly. There's a tremendous amount of creative energy in this community that it would behoove us to tap into, to put on the air. I think that the programming that we have is failing the test of Pacifica's original design, which is that listeners would voluntarily donate to support programming that they're interested in hearing.
30 seconds.
So I think that the basis of the programming has to be that we need to have community-oriented programming that taps into the creative energies of this community, which is a community in resistance to gentrification, police murders, militarization of the border, evictions, houselessness, and that if we did that, we would have the listeners that we need to support our efforts.
Thanks. Nancy.
Yes, thank you. thank you for the reading. That's in the bylaws?
Yep.
What you just read?
Yes.
I did want to know where that came from.
It says Article 7. Local
That's bylaws.
Boards. Yes.
Okay.
Section 3.
I'm just sorry that I didn't mention a few other issues like ethnicity. Also, I would request that our programming director or general manager or staff provide us with a list by these areas that were mentioned. How many hours we have of different programming that fulfill this. We have no data to know whether or not we're filling this obligation or not filling this obligation. Just a list of taking all the shows, all the programming. I know, for example, I've been complaining for 42 years that KPFK won't have a full program on the environment, and we know how much climate change is a major, major issue now, and that's just one environmental concern. So that, you know, and I naturally, I think this, I don't have it in front of me, mentions issues. I'm not sure if it mentions some of the current crises going on. I don't see that, but I would hope that that's an underrepresented community, the environment and other issues.
And do we need a motion for what I just suggested, or a suggestion to the staff?
Let's just spend the time talking.
Okay.
I'm just going to put a point of information out to everybody because I don't know, people don't know this. KPFK.org programs, and you go to archives, and they have the archived programs cross-indexed by at least six categories: public entertainment, Spanish, health and spirituality, music, news, public affairs, and Public Affairs National Syndicate. So you can see a degree of coverage, what we have. And they also, under programs, list what's our grid, and they list the programs. It's not summarized, but you can click on a program and find out what they do, like Focusing or Flip the Script or Feminist Magazine. So the programs are listed, and you can get an analysis or a viewpoint on it without having to spend all day listening to everything.
Quick,
I'm going to shut up. Go ahead.
There are ecologically oriented programs if you go to the schedule. I can talk about that afterwards, about specifics.
Okay, great. So let's go. Who's next? Yeah. Lawrence.
Then yeah, so the bylaws is something to get familiar with. In regards, since we're talking about the bylaws, the only time the PMB could intervene with the National Electric Supervisor is when the bylaws are violated, especially in the fair campaign provisions, which the chair admonished the National Electric Supervisor at the time and send her a letter that she should try her best to have that. I think we need to go further than that. In regards to that, I think the section of the bylaws is fine, but I would like us to take much more time and a sit down, maybe a potluck, to do something like this, to really take a look at this.
Well, that's what we're doing now. If you've got a viewpoint on it,
let's... A potluck.
What should we do about the programming? That's what we're talking about.
Oh, the programming. I mean, if the programming was great right now, we would be making substantial financial gains. Right now, when I'm making financial
gains. What should we change? That's what we're talking
about. I think
about.
What we should change, I think I concur with what my comrade Michael said in regards to developing a different audience, because our audience is essentially middle class, white, and stale. And so I think we need more diversity in regards to our programming. And we should advocate for that, although we can impose that.
20 seconds.
On the program director, I think we could consult with them and also give the program oversight committee some teeth.
Yeah, okay. So now let's go to the other people who raised their hands. Michelle, was anybody else?
Can you put
Paul.
The
Go ahead,
Michelle. On the list Paul, at the Paul. Bottom?
Thank yeah. you. Oh. I want to echo what Michael said. He took the words right out of my mouth regarding the fact that this body has specifically voted down the idea of programmers evaluating each other, listeners evaluating programming, and our board bodies evaluating programming. And so I think that was just wildly off base. And if we want to hear what the public has to say, what better way than to ask them to help evaluate the programming? I also want to object to the idea that Spanish is considered an area of programming or a category. I imagine that, and I don't speak Spanish, so someone can verify for me, but I imagine that our Spanish language programming covers the environment mm-hmm. and politics and gentrification and all the issues that we talk about in our English language programming. And so the idea that Spanish is its own category is a roadblock to the idea that we are a bilingual or multilingual station. Thank you.
Well said.
Great. Anybody else there? Helena?
Yeah.
Me?
Oh, you were up? Go ahead.
I think that the current programming, the funding of the station, which is 90% from on-air fundraising, and over the years what's happened is the health and spirituality fund drive shows have brought in much, much, much more money, not only at KKK but at WBAI as well, than the regular political programming. The political programming is maybe bringing in 20%, between 20 and 40% of the income, more like 20% of the total revenue of the fund drive. So, and the per hour fund drive totals are much higher for the health and spirituality. So going to, we are basically addicted to that type of funding at the moment. Weaning off it would take really improving our programming in general so that the normal programming, which should include health, because obviously our listeners are very, very concerned about health, and there are a lot of alternative health programming that could be done. But anyway, we need to, little by little, improve our programming so that it is supported
if we were to just eliminate the programming and the fund drive the way it's being run, we would be we'd have to shut down the station because our revenue would just be too meager to support our overhead. We've tried over and over again at KPFK to allow the normal programmers to pitch, and unfortunately the amount of money brought in by the normal programming has been so small that they've had to revert back to preempting shows. And I'm sure Fred can verify this. So I agree that the programming needs radical improvement. It should be done quickly, and in that way, once the programming is improved, there'll be more support, listener support, and we can wean ourselves off the addiction we have to preemptive fund drives.
Okay, Paul.
Just to kind of follow up with the gentleman from Public Comments said earlier, it is important that we take these comments into consideration and really address it, because I hope like this conversation today is not just 20 minutes of a conversation and we check it off a box and kind of throw it away. Right. Like, we have to have like this type of discussion at the town hall, like you said, or at a potluck where we have a longer periods of time to really address it, to improve it. Just like in this paper here, it says, underrepresented communities. I know we have a huge Pacific American community in, like, Los Angeles by itself, and I don't see a lot of programming specifically geared to that community. I know they have one, like, LGBTQ thing on Monday nights or whatever, or Tuesdays, like the gay agenda or something. But we do have to outreach to different demographics and groups. And like even he said with the Christmas thing, with all, like, a whole, like, kind of fair thing, I think that would be amazing. It would really, get a broader way of people to come, to communicate, and just to say, oh, you're a listener. This is things that we want to talk about. And even issues, like she said, gentrification, the environment, whether it's civil rights, those are issues that really would unite everybody, regardless of race or class or ethnicity or sexual orientation, because they all affect us, directly. So, again, I hope that we have this conversation more often. And that's a serious conversation and not just a check.
Okay, we're going to go to Jan on the air.
Jan.
90 seconds.
You want to get on? Jan? Mansoor wants to get on the stack.
Come on.
I'm sorry, I was on the phone.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of things. First of all, in order to know, to at least start serving the people who are presently our listeners, we need to know what they like. And I've tried we did a little survey, but we should include it in our, whenever we have people in the phone room taking studies, to ask people what their three or four favorite programs are. We don't know, just people don't listen to just one program, so asking three or four people. We should also be using the pledge to donate more so that people who don't have a lot of money can donate. Our average donation is way too high. We need to be asking for, a dollar just to know that people are listening, $5, and start engaging more people. And then we'll know what people are interested in. And we do have to get off of the, health and spirituality addiction. But it will take time because we have to slowly get people to donate money otherwise. And one of the things that we can do to reach out into various communities is to do cooking.
So 20 seconds, Jan.
10 seconds, Jan. 10 seconds.
If bring people in and do pre-recorded shows with leaders of communities, and then make sure that those people, that their whole communities know that they and their organization and community are going to be on the air, so that we get new listeners.
Thank you. Okay, let's go in-house before we go on the air again. Rob, you want to speak on this?
Yeah, yes, I do.
And then Sewer.
Chair?
Go ahead, start.
I think maybe one of the problems that we might be facing is that we need to get out, the station needs to get out in the community. It needs to know, the people need to know who the station is, who you are, who we are. They need to know, and that way, when you learn of a person, you can tell what this person like and how to divide, how to design programs that fit the interest. And when you get in here and be a part of organizations, let me give you an example. The past gala that they had, and you know, let me just real quick, he had this ad running into a newspaper. I just so happened to see it. So the ad that was in the paper, this was going into communities where people don't even listen to the station. They don't even know who the station is. So it's like, how are you going to ask somebody to give you, support you? This how it works is that one hand washes the other. If we're out here in the community helping the community, obviously the community is going to help us. We go out there and you see nowhere where it says KPFK. So they, you know, so how do they know who we are? And then when they do run the ads, KPFK, the ad doesn't say anything. What about you? I was in Venice just yesterday, and Venice is full of different cultures. And then I said, man, this is just the perfect place to be to try to build, because the station is about the station is about different cultures and communities and different people, and that's what it's, that's you know, I was thinking that was a good place to start. But that's what we need to do. We need the station, instead of being contained and being here secluded within ourselves and never reaching out and talking to other people and finding out who these people are out there and what do they want to listen to. So once we do that, we'll see a vast improvement in the station.
Okay, we're actually going to have to leave here exactly at 2 because there's someone else waiting. Anybody have something
extend
different
the 5
to say?
Minutes,
yes,
please.
I know how much time we have.
We need to close meeting as well.
So let's go. I understand Mansoor. He's sitting in a couch. Bella hasn't gone and Polina hasn't gone.
Okay.
Stop it.
It has taken 12 years for KPFK to reach the Home Shopping Network status. For many, yes, many years, I've been screaming this off my top of my lung before entering this board. And it is amazing that only now I hear certain board members discussing that, well, we need to do this with what Rob Macon has just said, going out into the community. We used to have live programming from the community years ago. This is when we were able to raise $1 million in less than 2 weeks. It has taken time to become the Home Shopping Network. Can we kill this monster? Yes. And the only way to kill it is to do it immediately, because we keep talking about it, mm-hmm, and things only get worse. Killing the beast has to be done now, not mañana. Now. It should have been done yesterday, and look where we are today.
Okay, thank you. Polina.
First of all, if the health and spirituality model was working, our numbers would be better. It's not working, right? The addiction is not working for us anymore. The numbers are not there, so it's not that we have to wean ourselves off. We have to quit cold turkey. I completely agree.
Thank
now,
you.
In the meantime, though, I would like to propose a motion, and it would read as following, whereas it is the duty of the LSB to work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation per the bylaws, be it resolved that the program director make a written report to this body within the reasonable time of 2 weeks about his plan for improving programming and for the fund drive.
Second.
And invite, and be it also resolved that the program director also appear in person before this body at the next meeting.
Second.
Can you do you have that?
I'm about to, but basically resolve two things.
Given the motion, we're going to vote on it.
A written report from the program director within 2 weeks to this body, and the personal appearance by the program director at the next meeting.
To present it, right?
To present, yeah.
You got a motion?
I'm writing it up right now.
Mansu wants to speak on the motion, Chair.
I know he does.
Michael, he's going to send it to you.
It's very disrespectful.
He's going to send it to you.
We got a motion on the floor. He can
speak. The motion came out
before.
He wants
to speak on this motion.
That he's on the couch and it's very disrespectful. I'm surprised that you would do that.
Oh, really?
It's just someone on the phone. I understand.
Florence, does Mansour want to speak to this motion?
Yes.
Okay, good. Put the speaker to the mic, not the back of the phone, please.
That's where the speaker is.
You should. Speaker's usually at the bottom.
Can you speak? Forward, please?
Go ahead. Mansour, speak up.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much, folks. So I'm not sitting on the couch or laying.
Okay, that's it. Point of order. The speaker's at the bottom of the phone. It always is.
Loris, I think the speaker is on the bottom of your phone.
Tilt it.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, is that okay to speak now?
We hear you perfectly well. Go ahead.
Okay, same thing. So, I want you to know that I'm not sitting or laying on the couch. I had to take one of my friends to hospital this morning, so that's why I couldn't make it. Number two, I agree with part of what Paulina was saying. We actually need to hear from a program director what he's going to do to improve programming. I don't want to hold his feet to the fire. I want to know what process he's taking. And I'm okay if he gives us a written report or a verbal report. But just be mindful that we're not communicating with the manager, with the program director or general manager on the scale that we should be. Instead of attacking them, maybe we should find out what it is that they want to do. Okay, two, be mindful, October 1st is the fund drive. So I don't know in 2 weeks if we'll be able to do anything. We just have to notify that, maybe after the fund drive, you should come up with a written report to us. How is he going to improve or what is he doing to improve programming? And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, man.
Can I just point out before you didn't hear it?
Wait, don't blare into the mic.
There's a meeting scheduled with the program director on the 27th of February, of
September.
Excuse me, at the station with the Program Oversight Committee
at
4 p.m.
Okay, great. So we have them in our schedule. Okay, let's go to the motion. Motion's been seconded.
I might withdraw it given the... Actually, no, I'm not withdrawing.
No, please don't.
Okay, everybody's aware that the program director is meeting on the 27th at the station with the
Friday
Oversight Committee. Okay, read the motion.
Okay. Whereas it is the duty of the LSB to work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation, bylaws Article 7, Section 3, be resolved that the program director present a written report to the local station board within 2 weeks about his plan for improving programming and on fund drive programming plans. Be it also resolved that this body, the word is urge, but I maybe we
that's
want to
urge more, is all right,
right. Urge the program director to appear in person at the next local station board meeting to present this report.
Thank you. Any objections? Motion passed.
Okay.
Now that we're done, we got to go to public comment. Sorry, folks. Public comment, and then we're out.
Mansour abstained.
Mansour wants the abstention recorded.
Okay.
I asked if there was any objections.
Mansour wants his abstention recorded.
Oh, Mansour wants his abstention.
Okay, I have a question, please, before
we
adjourn.
I'm sorry, public comment. We don't have time. We're out of here by 2.
Okay, too bad this motion didn't include Christine and Alan Minsky, because they're also responsible for your fund drive. Certainly Alan Minsky has spent 10 years, working very hard to decline the public affairs fund drive.
Correct.
So he apparently is still getting paid to do something, get on air and pitch. So
cut the gain.
Michael.
Yeah, cut the green.
Maybe I'm so Minsky and Christine should be in this meeting, and maybe you can amend that somehow. Also, you know, once again, Grace is giving you distorted figures about the popularity of health programming because, well, let's just say it's distorted, and you don't have enough information to make that assumption. It's biased. It's biased reporting because that's the outcome she wants. She wants health and whatever.
Keep time.
There was an article, I'd like to give a history lesson, I don't know if I have enough time, but there was an article that appeared in Random Lengths recently about KPFK's highlights for the last 60 years. It said in 1972, George Carlin's Seven Words was broadcast on KPFK. It was famously broadcast on WVAI. So while it may have been a landmark somewhere, it was not at KPFK. And then it said in 1963, KPFK runs the first Renaissance Fair as a fundraiser. This is false. The Phyllis Patterson and her husband started the Renaissance Fair as a fundraiser for KPFK in exchange for KPFK promoting it on the air. KPFK had nothing to do with that other than promoting it on the air. That went on for about 2 years, 2.5 years, and then KPFK got greedy, decided they owned part of the Renaissance Fair and sued the Renaissance Fair. KPFK, of course, lost. And guess who was the pro bono attorneys for KPFK? Jan and her husband, Jerry. So this is just another example of really generous people getting kicked in the teeth by KPFK and creating more ill will and losing money.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim. That's my great up. Information.
Okay, for Anna.
If we don't take these LSD meetings to San Bernardino, to Riverside, to San Diego, to Santa Ana, to Santa Barbara, and you're just waiting for everybody to come here and we don't see anybody here, how are you going to get some feedback from the listening audience in Southern California? Problem number one. Problem number two, the immigration issue is a hot potato. The Donald Trump has made a fortune. The corporations that run the media have made a fortune with the ratings are high, talking about immigrants, but KPFK is not talking about the relating issues.
Right.
I say, if you don't have a promotional visibility outreach team, a program, or a group of people working on it, at the very least, you should go on the air and ask people to buy some water-based paint every part of Southern California to write the KPFK letters upside down or inside out on the sides of the car. So all of the freeways loaded, saturated with cars, millions of cars every day, they have an understanding there's a thing called KPFK. How about that?
That sounds good to me.
Another good idea.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Von Gunten. I'm here today from Ojai. I tune in from Ojai. I want to address, well, first I want to mention I'll be available afterwards if anyone, I'd like to hear from anybody who wants to talk. So I'll stay as long as anybody wants to talk.
Thank you.
My pleasure. That's how I learn. I'm here to learn and observe and listen today. I want to address the issue of signal strength and clarity and production values. If we can't hear you out there, you might as well not exist. I listened to KPFK, to VAI back in New York at first, and then when I came out here, it's for more than 40 years, all up and down the coast. Ojai, I couldn't get any signal at first until the Iraq War hit, and I needed connection there. So I got out my T-wire antenna, and I danced around the living room until I found something, and I pinned it up there, and I have listened to that. Like that, when I can get the signal in. If we're the strongest signal west of the Mississippi, and we're not getting that signal out to people, we're leaving money on the table.
Right.
And production values so often have to do with interviews over the phone or over Skype, and you can hear the host, and the guest is somewhere, you know, in the next room. And so people...
5 seconds.
Basic production values have people speak directly into the microphone and not, you know, to the ethers. And there's a lot more I have to say. I'm going to do my best to try to show up to the meeting on the 27th.
Thank you for making the trip.
Financial success depends on having good programming, and the way to get good programming is to get the advice of experts, and I'm not an expert, but there are about 10,000 experts out there, listeners and the general public, that can tell us to help us to get out good programming. For 2 years, I've been trying to get a conversation going on the email, a sort of a blog, but a polite one where you never insult other people. They can all talk with each other and with our staff, and between them, we can figure out what is good programming. I've been trying to get it going, and if you just give me a little help pushing the general manager, we might get it on the air and we might get it on the web. I think our website needs an awful lot of work. To me, it's terrible. I can't find anything on it. But let's get that conversation going, and then we'll get some good programming.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Hello? Nothing. We're done. Once, twice, public comment. None. Good. We're done. Motion to adjourn.
Can I make announcements? You know, we should.
No. Wait a second. We got a motion to adjourn. It's not debatable. It's a motion
call
to
the closed session.
We have a minute. We have a minute to have the closed session because we have to leave it too.
The purpose of that was to approve minutes.
I want to thank the on time. It is appreciated.
I don't want those minutes kept a secret. I want to make a motion that the underwriting discussion be
closed. We're not in closed session yet.
It doesn't matter. He's making a motion.
I'm not disclosing any...
He's making a motion.
It's a question of adjourning this meeting.
Point of order. A motion to adjourn.
It's not debatable.
It's not debatable.
Vote it down. Vote it down.
It's not debatable, and it takes precedence over all other business.
Vote right on it.
All those in favor of adjourning?
Don't vote for it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All those opposed? 1, 2. All those abstaining? 0.
We're adjourning to the closed session.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to have enough quorum for a closed session.
Can I just ask a question outside of session?
Anytime you want.
Well, whoever's planning and coordinating with the Peace Center, obviously we have a bit of a conflict with another event.
I will talk to the person who schedules to find out why we got
thank you.
So tight.
Thank you.